San Francisco is all kind of messed up. You got human waste all over the streets. You got crime rampant through the streets as well. There's this viral video where 10 people just run out of a building, just stealing stuff. And people are heard saying, I guess crime is legal. And we've been hearing this for a while. Now, the funny thing is you've got this progressive district attorney. So now that this study comes out showing 40% of people in San Francisco, I think registered voters, have said they're planning on leaving or considering leaving because of the lower quality of life and the crime. And there's this big threat talking about it. This progressive DA who's supposed to be arresting and prosecuting these people said, well, that's just because they're racist. That their fears are just linked to racism. It's like the easiest way to not take responsibility for screwing up your city. So we're going to talk about this and a bunch of other social issues around, you know, what's happening with crime in New York City, how it's come to this. But we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about dating and economic attractiveness. We have this article where it's basically a collection of TikToks from women who posted photos of themselves before they met their boyfriends or husbands, and they're all slim and attractive. And they're like, here's me now. And they're like unkempt and obese. And this plays into a lot of dating tropes. And we got some guys who I guess are experts. Maybe. Are you guys experts? I don't know. Fresh and Fit podcast guys?
Somewhat.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
He was following.
Every now and then we try to womanize maybe. I don't know.
Just some random dudes or something. I got a bunch of people following you. Like,
yeah, man.
So we'll talk a lot about this. This is important, too, because the feminism, dating, how the media plays it, how the dating apps play it, has a huge impact on our political space. You know, politics is downstream from culture. So a lot of the things that we see really are rooted in, I guess, a lot of it's feminism, but a lot of it's intersectionality or critical race theory and all this stuff. So we'll get into all that. Do you guys want to just actually do an intro for yourselves?
Yeah, sure. So we're Fresh and Fit, man. I mean, you've seen us all over TikTok, World Star, you know, the fights, all that stuff. But behind the scenes, man, we're just some guys from Miami living life. I mean, it's not how women think, how men think. Put them all in one room together, and we make sense of the whole arguments that they have. So pretty much,
yeah, man. Basically, our podcast, we help men become better, you know, through fitness, finances, and, you know, dealing with girls, you know, because obviously dating is tough for a lot of guys out here.
Yeah.
So you know, we talk about a lot of uncomfortable truths in the dating game and teach guys what it really takes to be attractive, despite, you know, how unflattering or politically incorrect it is.
Did you guys say your names yet?
Oh yeah,
well,
Myron Gaines,
Fresh Prince CEO.
Yeah, Myron Gaines, man, aka Fit, and then he's Fresh Prince CEO.
Yeah, aka so, Walter Weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Your real name's already out there.
It's already out there.
Who cares?
Too many articles.
Yeah. We got Ian Chillen.
Oh, hello everyone, Ian Crossland over here. Glad you guys are here. I think a lot about how was it politics is downstream of culture. Mm-hmm. I think that culture is downstream of technology.
Mm.
Depending on how you twist and bend technology, you're going to get a massively different culture. And we see this with Bumble and online dating. A lot of that has contributed to this. Crazy.
Yeah, that's yeah. Online dating, this mobile technology changed a lot of how we have dating culture.
Yeah, social media itself, man, has changed the whole landscape because now access is abundant. So
yeah. We got a lot to talk about this, but we're gonna work our way into that through just, you know, regular old politics. Mm-hmm. But we got a lady pushing buttons.
I'm also in the corner. I'm really excited about this because I was talking to these guys before the podcast, and we agree on a lot more than most people probably realize. So I'm stoked for this.
Pretty based conversation earlier.
Yeah, it was based. Fantastic.
It was getting really spicy before we even started. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. Yeah. But we're gonna ease into it. We're just gonna go over some of these news stories up front, and then we're gonna get into. Yeah. But don't forget, before we start, go to timcast.com, become a member, and you'll get access to exclusive members-only content. We've got awesome segments. One of them from Dr. Chris Martinson. I can't even show you on the website on the screen because the title of it would get us banned off YouTube. That's the kind of stuff that we're talking about. And this guy's a PhD pathologist talking about, you know, what's going on with COVID. So we have to have these conversations off of YouTube and on the site. But you're also helping support our newsroom. We got two more journalists coming on who are going to be doing a lot of news and stuff. We are going to be working on launching the Unexplained Mysteries podcast this weekend because we never stop working. We're going to be filming the vlog. All that's at timcast.com. So please become a member. Plus, we're going to have a bonus segment coming up later tonight after the show ends. We record one just for members where we're allowed to say all the things that YouTube would ban us for. And that will be probably pretty fun because even before the show, these guys, I think it's going to be a blast. Yeah, but don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends if you really do like it. It's the most powerful thing you can do. We don't got the marketing budget of CNN or anything like that, but if you're like, hey man, this is a really great show, just share it on Facebook, share it on Twitter, do whatever, because people are saying they're not getting the notifications, they're not getting, you know, shown the podcast. Some people are saying they go to the channel, it's not even there. That happens. Mm. Yep, but we're also on iTunes, Spotify, so we're trying to spread everything around and get people to go to you know, our website, timcast.com. But you can follow the show at TimcastIRL on Instagram and Facebook. Let's talk about this, this first story real quick. And, let's see what's going on. We got this story from Fox News. San Francisco DA official says, I'm sorry, I keep screwing this up. I said this was Chesa Boudin. It's not the DA.
Oh.
It's the DA official who says crime surge fears linked to racism. It's similar considering the district attorney is supposed to be the one that's prosecuting all this crime. Reports of vehicle break-ins are up by between 100% and 750% in parts of San Francisco. And we're seeing stuff like this all over. We got this story from the Daily Mail. Crime is basically legal in San Francisco. Furious shopper posts video of horde of shoplifters fleeing Neiman Marcus, totally unchecked, with armfuls of designer bags. So we'll just jump in. I mean, I've been talking about this stuff for a while. I lived in the Philadelphia area. I don't want to live there because there were riots. It's not even about the riots. There was one story where a guy barricaded himself inside a building and started shooting at cops. Mm. Like, I think he shot like five people. And so at a certain point, I'm just like, why am I even living in a place like this?
Yeah.
But especially over the past year with crime skyrocketing everywhere. You guys are in Miami. Yeah. I'm wondering what you guys have noticed, if anything.
Breaking into cars sounds like Wynwood.
Yeah, literally. Like, you go down to party with your friends or whatever in a cool spot area.
Yeah.
You come up to your cars. It's open.
Wynwood is basically like, think of it as like our Williamsburg of like New York or Brooklyn. It's like, you know, going through gentrification, very similar to Austin. A lot of graffiti, a lot of really art artsy. So yeah, it's like right there in that art district area. So, you know, but it's going, that used to be the hood back in the day. So now what's going on is like a lot of car break-ins, a lot of people getting robbed and everything like that. And Philly is like always consistently in the top 5 or 10 most dangerous cities in the U.S., man. So it's
I guess like the recurring theme with all of this is that these cities are typically run by Democrats.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know how political you guys get because you talk a lot about dating.
Miami is, we were the last county to open after the beer bug stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We were the last county because Florida was open for a while, but Miami-Dade was the slowest. We just opened back up maybe, what, a month ago? So, yeah, they're pretty.
That's one of the craziest things is you have that county that was like safe Democrat that flipped Republican.
Which county was that?
It was Miami, wasn't it? Was that north of Miami?
Is it Miami-Dade?
It might have been Broward. Broward is that one area that's like, maybe. It's like,
I think it might have been Broward.
Yeah.
Probably Broward.
Because Miami-Dade is typically always blue, but I wouldn't be surprised if Broward like went red for a bit because Broward is like a lot more diverse than South Florida. Well, it is South Florida, but it's much more diverse than the Miami-Dade county area.
In Miami-Dade.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Miami-Dade?
Yeah, it was Miami-Dade.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was right.
I don't know which 27th? 27th district and 27th to 26th. That was crazy because they were saying that it was safe Democrat. It wasn't going to change. But there's like, I guess the main theme of the story that we're going on is when you look at, I think San Diego is run by Republicans. They're not in the top 10 for crime, even though in the top 10 biggest cities. So like, I don't know if what your guys' opinion on this.
San Diego is great,
man.
I like San Diego. I'm not a fan of California, but San Diego I do like.
So nice.
Just in general for like the crime we're seeing.
Honestly,
what's it like in Miami?
For crime, it's kind of like, how to put this? It's more in the party scene. I would say this, like, let's say you're going out with friends, right? You meet a girl. Guys are getting, like, finessed from girls. Like, for example, you bring to your house, you know, you have a great time. By the time you wake up, your stuff is gone. That's the problem in Miami all the time, right? We're in Miami. Think about it. We're, you know, party capital. And then just being a regular civilian, you know, you're walking around, whatever. Certain areas are obviously still not safe. But I would say more it's like car break-ins, you know, guys getting finessed from girls. And then also, you know, even behind the scenes, there's like, you know, theft with scammers, you know, people putting.
But does it feel like it's going up?
I'll say this. Miami Beach has definitely changed significantly over the past, you know, 10, 15 years. You know, ever since for me, what I noticed the trigger point was right around 2008 when Florida started getting on the map with DJ Khaled and Lil Wayne and all these rappers like really like representing the South Florida area. And then it brought more tourism, more traffic to Miami because a lot of people think Miami Beach, like, oh, Ocean Drive. They think that's Miami. No, that's Miami Beach.
Yeah.
But Miami Beach now, it could be ratchet at times. Like Memorial Day weekend, you don't want to be there. So, but yeah, there's a lot of crime in Miami Beach because, you know, it draws a certain crowd there on certain types of events. And then, yeah, a lot of fights, shootings, robberies, you know, in Miami Beach quite a bit.
I would say the main areas are tourists. Like Broward and Miami Beach because we're in Brickell downtown, so we're kind of like in a safe area, so to speak, but it's all like crazy, like, you know.
And then downtown Miami has like all the homeless people.
Yeah.
Like all the homeless people in Miami
are
like concentrated
worse?
Downtown. Yeah, dude.
Get this, right? So I came here 5 years ago to Miami, right, from Barbados. And Downtown Brickell was kind of like, okay, open area, not too much people over there, not too many homeless. Yeah. Now it's like overrun, but you know, the pandemic, all this stuff happens, so people are out of jobs. That's where they go.
Brickell is like the Manhattan of Miami. If I was to give people like an example of what it is, it's like the financial district. It's clean. It's nice. Like, you know, they've been really working on making it nice because it used to be when people came to Miami, they would go to Miami Beach immediately. They would never go into the city.
Right.
Like you would never go into the city unless you worked. But now, you know, the city's becoming more tourist friendly. They're trying to compete with Miami Beach. That's why Wynwood is coming up. The design district. Brickell has its own scene and everything else like that. But so it's like, it's fixing, but. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely like a lot of scammers in Miami. A lot of girls rob dudes. People don't know. It's just that the guys don't report it to the cops.
They don't report it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I lived in Miami for a little bit. I was in by Homestead, actually, where they have that famous child detention migrant facility or whatever. Mm. And we had one crazy thing happen. The neighbors warned us that there were some home invasions and people were shot and killed. Mm. And so I think this is why this is what explains a lot of like, you know, Florida gets a Republican governor. Ron DeSantis, everybody loves the guy, you know, and they're saying he might run for president or maybe he'll be vice president, who knows. But when I was there, this is a story I often tell people. I was at a Trump rally talking to people about this because, you know, this is back in the day, or it looks like 6 years ago. There were some home invasions. A guy was in his shower and he heard noise downstairs, like rustling. So he walks downstairs in his towel and then two guys see him and then just one guy just shoots him in the chest, kills him. Mm. And this is like 40 miles west of Miami. So it's like not that far away.
Okay.
And, you know, so I was talking to people in the neighborhood about, they're like, you got to be really careful. You know, I hope you have guns. And we were like, we didn't have any guns. Like, we're in the middle of nowhere, but we weren't armed or anything like that. We had like an air pressure rifle. And so then talking to these people, a lot of them were Latino immigrants. A lot of them were Cuban.
Yeah.
And they said, oh yeah, those, like, we were talking to our neighbors about it and they were like, oh yeah, those guys, oh yeah, they killed, I think they caught them. They were illegal immigrants who like were ransacking houses west of Miami where it's like, there's no cops. It's pitch black. It's like farmhouses.
Probably unincorporated Dade.
Yo, so that might be. Homestead is no man's land.
There's nothing out there, bro.
It's very cheap over there too. So I get it.
Yeah.
There's an Air Force base, but that's about it.
Yeah. You know, but that to me was when when the people, I see the Trump flags everywhere and I was talking at rallies, talking to people at rallies, I was like, oh, now I get it. Like, these are the stories that they're hearing all the time. That's why they're very concerned about illegal immigration. That's why they're very concerned about having the guns and things like that. But anyway, I digress. I want to ask you guys, like, how do you manage to do a podcast underwater? You know, I heard Miami sank.
We're sinking. Yeah, we're sinking every day, bro.
We had a building just collapsed.
That's true.
Surfside, South Beach,
in Miami Beach.
Terrible,
yeah.
Man.
Why Miami was Beach. That? They ever figure out why?
So apparently, the building had a very bad structure. It had some issues going on, but they never fixed it. Mm-hmm. So they were told ahead of time, "Hey guys, this building's under some issues. You need to fix it as soon as possible." But then they never did it. And then what happened was, I think we had like a lot of rain, a lot of like what was it? Was it like a fissure or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Miami is like a lot of the buildings were built, you know, on the back the cocaine era, you know, so it's like they're not necessarily like Miami was built on the back of like narco trafficking. So let's be honest about it. So like, you know, they like, and it's because I'm a real estate investor in Miami too.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon for them to be breaking all kinds of codes and violations when you're like looking at real estate property in Miami. So I would not be surprised if that building was, didn't pass certain regulations and it might have like, you know, collapse on itself.
Yeah.
So
somebody just greased some palms.
Yeah. Exactly. You put some money over there. They hush.
Yeah. You know, like, hey, I gotta dump this money in somewhere, bro. Like somewhere. So real estate.
But imagine you're in your home. All of a sudden.
Oh yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's so many buildings in Miami like that. So who knows? Miami might be underwater. Who really knows?
Mm-hmm. What if your podcasts? You know, what if like your building you're in just like,
dude? Yeah. It's bro. Who knows? Because I'll tell you this.
We're high up.
When it rains. Yeah, we're high up.
We're high up.
when Brickell when it rains really bad in Brickell, like it does go underwater. Like there's flood. There's like puddles everywhere.
Yeah,
cars
videos,
like are driving through.
Where like it's like a. Imagine you're at a lake, and it's the city. It's that crazy.
What?
So it's bad.
Is it really sinking though? Or is it like, because when I was there, I remember I went down to Miami Beach one day and there was like a couple inches of water just in the street. And they said, oh, it's because Miami's sinking. Oh. But other people told me, it's been like this forever.
It has.
Like, it's sea level. So it rains and then like there's nowhere to drain the water. So it just like is in the streets. So I'm wondering how much of it's political. Because here's the thing, that they're saying that, you know, the water levels are going to rise, climate change and all that. But you still got all these investors buying up property. All across Miami.
Yeah.
See, that's my question.
Dude.
Why are these millionaires dumping money into a property that may go underwater? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking they must be doing something behind the scenes to stop the, you know.
Not only that, like, me and Fresh are both involved in real estate too.
Yeah.
And, the market in Miami right now is hot, man. Like,
yeah.
these, These, if you guys are trying to buy a Miami, man, this is going to be expensive because these New York investors, they're moving down in droves.
The Canadians,
man.
The Russians.
Chinese. People from Massachusetts, New York, Connecticut, the Northeast in general are down there in droves because they're looking at like, okay, what did the beer bug teach us? Okay, well, now you can work from home. You don't necessarily need to be tied to a certain location to be able to do work and commute in. So why are you going to pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 to live in a closet in New York City when you can go down to Florida, warm all year, no state income tax? And for a lot of people that don't know this, Florida is actually fairly cheap to live, and Miami is actually a cheap city to live in. Mm-hmm. You can get a one-bedroom apartment in Brickell, which is in Manhattan, Miami, for $2,000 a month or less. Yep. You would never find that in Manhattan.
Nope,
bro. My friend had a place in Brickell, overlooking like the bay, and they had two pools for residents: a saltwater pool and a freshwater pool.
Yeah,
not that expensive. It's like super nice place.
People think Miami's expensive, but it's here's not. The thing. It's expensive if you party in Miami. Ah. Since so many people come to party in Miami Beach, it's expensive. But if you actually live in the city of Miami, not that bad.
And if you want to avoid sea level, you can go to Wynwood, and that's above sea level.
It is.
So a lot of investors, that's where they go to invest and buy property.
That's going
to
blow up soon.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, man, I think a lot of people are moving down there because of freedom.
Facts.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you had Texas and Florida saying, you don't got to wear masks, you can do whatever you want. Like, life is normal here.
Yeah.
That's why people, I think a lot of people move to Florida. So our friend Luke, for instance, you know, he was on the show, Luke Rakowski, for a couple months. And then he's like, I'm leaving. I'm going to Florida. And he was like, you should come with. And I'm like, bro, we can't just go to Florida. And he went to Florida. I don't know what he's doing now.
It's a great state, man.
You should come, man.
I lived in Florida. The problem is you can't go outside.
What, the humidity?
Humidity. It's like, it's 100 degrees of the maximum humidity, and it's monsooning half the time. I lived in when I lived out there.
I'll be honest, bro. I mean, we stay inside most of the time.
Yeah, I mean,
so you're good, bro. You're good.
I'll take warm weather because I grew up in Connecticut. So I grew up in the Northeast. I went to college in Boston. I'm very familiar with New England and Northeast in general. I lived in New York City. I've lived in Philly, and it's just like, man, I'll take that hot weather over cold weather any day, man. Like, but that's just me. Some people like the season changing, but like for me, it's like it's cheaper, it's warmer, the girls are hotter. Mm-hmm. You know,
listen.
I will say this though. Here's my prediction. Mm-hmm. Nevada, Florida, and Texas are going to see huge migration of new and
why is that?
Because they all don't have state income tax, and they're all a lot of people are escaping major cities that are expensive. Las Vegas for LA. A lot of people from New York are coming down to Florida.
Florida.
And then Texas, everyone's just going to Texas because Texas is a fantastic place to be. If I wasn't in Florida, I'd be in Texas. Houston, you could buy a beautiful home for $300,000.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, Texas is a very self-sufficient state. Gas is cheap. Food is cheap. They make a lot of their own stuff. Very self-sufficient state. Hell, if they wanted to leave the United States, they could. Don't they have that on paper somewhere too?
I think they do. Yeah.
So the only thing that sucks is like, you know, Houston traffic is awful and you need a car. But Texas is a great place to be. So I think those three states in the next 5 to 10 years, you guys are going to see an explosion because now people are seeing I don't have to be domain dependent on where I am to like work. I can work remotely. So if you're going to work remotely, why not pay less taxes and be in a warmer, better area?
There are some rumors. I haven't looked into this. That West Virginia is also trying to get rid of West Virginia is trying to get rid of their income tax, at least at a certain level. I don't know if they're actually going to do it or not. I haven't looked into it, but a lot of people in West Virginia are talking about it. So I like it out here, man. You know, it's close enough to the East Coast, a couple hours to Philly, a couple hours to, you know, not a couple hours, but you can head down to Miami, not too difficult. DC's right there.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to have guns. You know, you got a big open spaces. And I like snowboarding, you know, periodically, maybe once or twice. I don't want to go crazy with it. But winter's nice.
Yeah. New Hampshire, I would say New Hampshire is also good as well for people that want to stay in New England and still be able to get that experience because there's no state income tax in New Hampshire either. And you're just a hop, skipping away from Massachusetts, you know, you want to go to Boston or Springfield or anything like that.
Regarding like coastal cities going underwater, I think what happens when that does happen is it happens in jolts because if the ice caps melt, there will be like a rise in water. But what happens is when the ice is removed from the earth rises where that ice used to be, and earth elsewhere on the planet goes down. So like it will literally sink. So not only does the water level rise, but the earth sinks.
Wait. You're saying the water level?
When ice caps melt and just disappear all in a day, if there's like a firestorm and all the ice caps are gone, all that land rises where the ice used to be compressing it, goes up. And so earth on other parts of the planet go down when that land goes up. So when the ice caps are removed, part of earth will sink.
Oh, hold on, bro.
And that's in addition to the water rushing. There. Well, a lot of times climate change happens in jolts. It doesn't happen slow.
The northern ice caps aren't on land. You've got Greenland, which is on land. Antarctica is on land.
Antarctica, basically.
But Antarctica is, Depending on your source, Antarctica is gaining ice in some areas, maybe losing ice in some areas.
But if it were to lose its ice, that's you would see land sink as well as water go up. So it's like a double.
Are like the tectonic plates floating on water, you're saying?
It depends on what theory you look at. If you look at the expanding Earth theory, there are no tectonic plates.
I don't think expanding Earth theory is real.
I think we should go deep on expanding Earth theory one day.
I don't know, man. We're talking about investing in real estate and everything.
Yeah.
Well, land sinking, I don't think it's going to sink. I think buying it as a short-term considered high-risk investment when it's not.
I just think it's weird that I watched this video where a guy made a really good point. He's like, all these people are coming out claiming that, you know, climate change is going to wipe everything out. The water level is going to rise 20 feet. And all these rich people are buying up beachfront property in Miami. Like, what? Look, either they're expecting it not to happen or they're lying. Mm.
See, that's the question here. Why are they buying these million-dollar homes right on the water? Something's up here. They know something that we don't know. They have to.
Yeah, maybe they're Atlantean. They can breathe underwater.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing now in Miami, they're putting like these pillars in the water. I don't know what they do, but they're supposed to like stabilize the I don't know what it is, but they're putting pillars in the water. I don't know
like
why.
Like wave breaks? Are they breaking the waves?
I don't know what it does, bro. Just they're there.
What I think honestly is that these New York investors have so much money that like even if the place was to flood or whatever it is, they can fix the damages. Like they're buying it at such a low cost that even buying it at that cost and fixing the damage is going to be cheaper than buying a piece of property in New York. Like I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, right? Like right off Church Avenue, right? As a kid, like from 0 to 9 years old, then I moved. That property, I went and like looked at it. It's worth like $2 million now. Wow. And it's like just like a little crappy apartment like building. And it's like worth $2 million now. So it's like New York real estate. You can't even get in the game unless you have millions. So it's like, oh, I can go to Florida and buy like a triplex or a quadplex or whatever, or maybe even an apartment building for under $1 million.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
But as an investor.
Well, hold on. Some of these firms are probably just getting fed money for free. It's just they just get loans from the banks they don't care about. What's the worst case scenario if you buy this property and 30 years is underwater? Whatever, bankruptcy, you walk away. Mm. Why do they care?
Is it Blackstone that's doing that?
Yeah.
BlackRock and Blackstone, right?
Yeah.
Blackstone, I think, bought up a company that does this, that buys properties and rents them out. And then I think BlackRock was the one that was buying up all the properties themselves. Mm. I don't know. I got, it's there's like two different companies. I know, right?
It's annoying.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if I'm an investor, a smart investor, I don't want to put money into something that might lose money. So I'm just thinking from my point of view, hey, I'm an investor where there's not sea level problems. I don't know.
Yeah. But what I've come to realize is like these New York investors, they're not even getting good cash on cash returns like that.
They're
barely breaking 10% and they're still doing the deal. So that tells me that they just have a bunch of money they need to get rid of or something.
Have you guys been tracking what's going on with the economy since like with COVID and stuff?
Yeah, to a degree.
Because you're mentioning like you're a real estate investor. Because we have another story I want to talk about too. We'll jump into this and then we'll get into the dating stuff after this
one.
Sure. Supermarkets are now, this is from the Wall Street Journal, supermarkets are stockpiling inventory as food costs rise. Grocers are setting aside larger amounts of frozen meat, sugar, and other items to protect profits ahead of anticipated price increases. A lot of people think that there's going to be like some kind of market collapse. Inflation's already through the roof. Like, the bacon's up like 20%. Gas is up, you know, highest than it's been in 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now grocery stores are trying to buy as much as they can right now.
Yeah. What was it like $6 in LA?
Yes.
When we're in LA, we were just in LA. Shout out to Adam 22 and No Jumper. We were over there and we were in LA for a couple of days and the gas was outrageous. Like $6, $7.
Yeah.
$6.
Yeah. $6. I'm not going to lie. Like, I feel like it's an agenda going on right now. Mm. I feel like this whole pandemic thing was kind of like a means to an end. And they want to kind of bring about a certain change. And this might become a conspiracy.
Great, here we go.
But exactly.
It's not a conspiracy.
Play the X-Files music.
They publicly say like COVID is our chance to change, you know, capitalism, to reform capitalism. Mm. So it's like it doesn't have to be a conspiracy. It's just a bunch of ideologues saying I'm going to do things in this direction.
Yeah,
right.
And then you end up with, you know, $6 gas in California. People fleeing like crazy. Nobody wants to live there.
There's a saying that says from all the chaos comes order. So I think this is like I would say this is a made up agenda to push what they want, but control the money and control, you know, the food, all the stuff. So
I'll tell you guys what I'm doing personally. I'm like getting rid of all my fiat currency. I'm throwing it into Ethereum, crypto, Bitcoin, real estate. And then I even bought some silver, precious metals as well.
Yeah.
So I feel, and then the next thing I'm going to do, I don't know much about the stock market. I'm going to get into that as well. Get a broker account and then get into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, if you have a diversified portfolio and you like take your earned income and throw it into assets, man, that's the best you could do. Cause I agree with you. Inflation is going to, we're going to pay for it soon.
If these supermarkets are buying food right now, dude, food spoils. So how long is this food really going to last in their freezers? A couple months? they must be expecting some massive inflation to hit within the next few months or so. So what do these big supermarket chains know that we don't? Where they're willing to bet on buying tons of food that could spoil, they might never sell. No, they think they're going to sell it, which means are people going to be running out the door and buying up food right now? Like, there's a lot of questions about this. They buy larger amounts of frozen meat. How long is that really going to last? How long can you freeze meat for in your freeze at home?
6 months, I think.
Yeah. 6 months?
I think so.
That's a pretty long time.
While, yeah.
That's like, that's like pushing it to the limit.
Yeah.
But that means
Scarface.
if you went out right now and bought 10 loaves of bread,
yeah,
you can only freeze them for so long. It's not going to be good.
Right. Yeah.
And so you're really expecting you're going to eat all that bread.
And you would have to get the worst bread, not like the good stuff, not the Ezekiel. Right. You'd have to get like the crappy white bread for it to last that long.
Right. All preservatives and it's really thin. Not like Ian's bread.
Ezekiel is going to be green in like 3 days.
Yeah, Ian makes bread. It spoils in a couple of days because it's just so fresh.
No preservative.
But no, check it out. Oh. Check it out. If these stores are buying up all this food, it sounds like they think people are going to be buying up all this food soon. Why? That freaks me out.
That's a good point, man.
It's like something going to happen. People are going to get extra hungry or...
I'm going to die. I like to eat organic.
You're totally gonna die.
Yeah, I'm dead.
No. That's the good news. Like, no. Listen. When all the food is you know gone or expensive, you need to eat the bugs fresh. You know, fresh right out of the ground. Cicadas are all gone, so you can't do that anymore.
Roaches have protein.
Yeah.
Bugs have a lot of protein, man.
We had a cricket bread. I would say it was underwhelming.
Are we in Q3 right now? Did we just enter fiscal quarter three?
No, I think we're in two.
Okay, so maybe they're unloading their cash for quarter two before the quarter ends to try and reduce their tax.
But it's money dependency. And like, listen, if they think this is a move to make money, right? Because they're like, I'll put it this way. If you can buy a steak for $1 right now, but next month it'll be $2 for that steak. They're saying like, okay, I'm going to buy a bunch of steak now while it's cheap. But then you also got to sell that steak very quickly because it'll spoil. So they're not only expect, like they're willing to take that big of a bet that prices are going to be going up relatively soon.
See,
6 months.
I think they know something that we don't know. Because honestly, this is a power move here. Because why would you buy all the food off rip? So I think you're right here, but I don't know what the agenda is here. That's the thing.
That's a strange risk to
take. Yeah,
you know it's a good investment.
What?
Guns.
Yeah, facts.
Yes,
facts.
Yeah, yes. Man. I mean, I was thinking about this. You mentioned real estate, crypto. You know, getting out of fiat. I was thinking about that a little while ago. I was like, dude, I've had a savings for a long time. I have some money that I have in savings account, and I'm just like, I'm never going to touch this money. And like, I've had it for like a decade, just like sitting in the savings account, and I'm just, and I look at it now, I'm like, I can't buy anything with it anymore. But if I had used it a couple grand 10 years ago, I could have bought something. Today, man, the inflation's been so crazy. Yep. The buying power is just like.
And we tell guys on our podcast, you know, like you want to have at least 6 months to a year of like cash on hand, you know, for immediate, you know, fiat currency like that you can have access to. But everything else, man, throw it into like assets because the dollar is going to start, you know, the inflation is going to hit us very soon. So
also, check it out.
Yeah, but I agree with the guns thing though, because that is definitely in California. I used to date this chick actually. She was she approved the weapons permits in the Los Angeles County. She said she was a year behind.
Wow.
A year behind, dude.
That's crazy.
A year.
You know why guns are good though?
Yeah.
Think about it. They work. For the most part, you can just get one, you can put it in its case, you can seal it up, and it's gonna work. Yep. And it's just a piece of metal.
Yep.
But it's like a good little piece of, you know, engineering. Ammo too.
I think ammo, yeah.
Ammo.
But with I'm thinking about that, I'm like, if I went out and bought a gun right now and kept it properly stored and the dollar goes down, that buying power of the value within that weapon is gonna keep going up. You're going to retain the same value. So I'm like, that's a pretty good investment. Like, and also you got to think about this too. I love the conspiracy theorists who are like, you know, buy gold, you know, all the old Alex Jones videos. You got to buy your gold, people.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you going to do with gold in an apocalypse? Like, what are you going to do with gold if the economy collapses? Nobody's going to want it.
Yeah.
Right. It's
good to have it, but like, I agree. Like dumping on, cause I know people that only do precious metals and I'm like, bro, like diversify. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, I agree. Like, yeah, what are you going to do? I'll borrow you some gold if you give me your Glock. Like what?
Yeah. Right. Like gold and silver will have value so long as the economy still exists.
Yeah.
So if the economy can tank, not so bad. And you can see the price of gold go up or silver go up. That's why I do think it's good to have some precious metals. I have some. Yeah. I do think it's good. I think it, like you said, diversify.
It's good to have it, yeah. But 200 ounces, nothing crazy.
If the apocalypse happened, you know, and like it was like COVID times 10, nobody's going to want gold. They're going to want food, water,
ammo. And protection. Yeah. But guess what? For the dating side of it, you know the best investment for dating?
What is that?
Cat food and dog food. All these single ladies.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Dude, it was really hard to get cat food. Even right now, it's been difficult.
Really?
Yeah, with all these food shortages. Mm. Cat food's one of them.
They invented dry food for dogs and cats like during World War II because they had to repurpose all the meat for the troops. For the first time in history, they stopped feeding cats and dogs wet food and they created this dry. Basically, it's like giving cats and dogs bread. And a lot of times people think it's because why you see feline diabetes in animals from too much dry food.
So just let them go outside and eat some critters.
Yeah, man. That wet meat, that's what they're built for.
Yeah, Bucko, we let them outside. People got mad at us. They were like, this is bad. Bad pet ownership.
What?
Because he killed a rabbit, and then we saw him just like eating the rabbit on the porch, and it was a big rabbit.
Oh, shit.
He like chewed its head off.
Natural selection.
Yeah.
And it's a cat. That's I don't know, man.
Hardcore.
So we put a bell on him, so now when he runs, it jingles, which is supposed to help the animals escape. Because bro, we got clean food for you here, man. What are you doing? Don't kill those things.
He wants to hunt.
But he wants to murder, you know? He's a cat. So cats
I did not know cats will like
eat rabbits.
Eat rabbits, bro. I did not know.
That's
that.
A crazy cat.
Yeah.
No, they do.
He's metal.
There's another cat, a tiger,
bro?
I mean, he looks like a little tiger. No, there was a, you know, cats bring you dead animals.
You know what? Yeah.
Yeah, they'll come to your, if you have a pet cat and you let them outside, they'll come to you and drop like a dead bird or a mouse or something in front of you to like give to you. And apparently they're telling you you're a bad hunter.
Yeah.
Like, wow. You never get mice and here I'm going to show you this is what you're supposed to do. Or they're like, here, I got this for you. And yeah. I'm, what am I supposed to do with this? Yeah. I don't want
it. That's crazy.
You so eat it. Eat it.
Yeah, but we got chickens though and the chickens ate mice.
Ugh.
There was a mouse running along to the chicken coop and a chicken just snatched it and gobbled it up in one chomp.
What?
Yeah.
Like a chicken, not a rooster?
That's random.
Chicken.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Bro. I did not know that. I thought they eat corn and stuff. Like,
they do.
No, they don't eat corn. Chickens eat bugs. You chickens eat everything, actually.
They grain too, yeah.
But the people think you feed chickens seeds or anything. You know, if you let chickens go, they eat bugs. They scrape the ground and look for bugs. That's what chickens eat.
Oh, wow.
And so people, like when you give them corn and stuff, it's like giving them candy. That's what the people at the store told me.
Oh, wow.
And that's how you fatten them up probably too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what they
yeah.
feed the chickens, yep. You know.
And then for like if your hens, you know, they're laying, they have a thing called an egg layer. And then they eat it and it's like weird grainy protein garbage.
Apparently if you put a wooden egg in there with the chickens, they think that it's egg laying season and they'll lay more eggs.
Yep. It's true, yeah.
That's so weird. Could you imagine if aliens put like a fake baby in a hospital and people are like, I guess we gotta have babies.
I could see
just
it.
Trick people into doing that.
Yeah.
What about like deers? Because I see some in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Deers? Oh, yeah, dude. They're everywhere. And I'm worried. They're always stealing our apples. Like, they walk up to the tree, and then they just reach up and grab them, and I'm, like, shaking my fist at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, people, apparently they're pests.
Yeah.
I don't mind them. They eat our mulberries. Mm. You see them, like, eating the mulberries, and I'm like, whatever. I don't like the mulberries.
I never thought of deers as pests. I didn't think about that.
Hey, man, you gave him some carrots, bro. That was nice of you.
I was trying to, but he ran off.
Right away.
It makes sense, but they kill them in Texas.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they kill them all the time. So it makes sense.
We'll have, like, 5 or 6 in the yard at once.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I don't mind them. They don't do much other than I'm really worried about them eating the pawpaw because pawpaw are really, really hard to grow. Mm. It's like they call it hillbilly banana. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. So they say it's like a mango and avocado or something like avocado and banana or something like that. And so we have very few of them because they're hard to grow. And, you know, I don't know. They were saying that the deer might come and snatch them up. So you, like once they get ripened up, you got to be careful. But someone was telling me that the deer don't like them anyway. Not to worry about it. And I'm like, all right. But I watch them. I see them walking towards that pawpaw tree, and then I open the window. I'm like, hey, hey, get out of here.
He looks at you. He just goes and steals it anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. If you were in the apocalypse, right, what is one animal you would want to have by your side?
A dog?
A dog?
Yeah.
German Shepherd.
Okay. Ian?
Oh, that's a tough one. I was going to get crazy and say a falcon, but I think a dog.
Yeah.
I think you want a basic.
Falcon like punch.
A hunting dog.
Okay. Hunting dog. Myron?
Yeah, you'd want a dog.
Wait. Like by my side?
Yeah, by your side.
Dude, a gorilla.
A gorilla.
Now we're talking.
But would you be able to control him though?
If he's by my side. Like if you're saying like he's my dude.
Yeah, he's your dude.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, okay. Like, if you could control him, then yeah.
Being homies with like just like a fully grown gorilla.
Yeah, if he's like a Pokemon, I'm like, yo, do psychic or something and he does it, then I'm cool with that. But like, you know, is a monkey like really going to listen to me? Like, I mean, yo, psychic. You'd be like, look at me like, nah, bro.
But if it was like reality. A dog, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
You know. But do you guys have dogs?
Why
do
you
ask?
What's your plan? An alligator or something?
It's funny because, like, in Florida, we have alligators, right?
Yeah.
So my thing is, hey, you come close to me, go second boy.
Oh, yeah.
Alligator.
Alligator?
Crocodile. I don't know.
Is it alligators or crocodiles? Like, I can't tell the difference. The
crocs are smaller.
I have no idea. I feel like they're alligators. Lazy. I feel like they want to do nothing. He'd be like, yo, go attack me. Look at you, like,
right.
But if you could have an animal with you that was like your animal that was cool with you and listened to you, you'd want something big and powerful.
I'd want
something like a rhino or something.
That is very true.
Yeah, because like you could just be like chased down. Well, maybe a lion.
What about tiger?
Yeah.
Or leopard.
Dude, if you had a domesticated big cat, if you could like
Black Panther
communicate with the cat.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be good. Those but yeah, the pharaohs. Tiger will probably, you definitely need Pokemon badges for a tiger though.
Yeah. A lot of Pokemon badges.
You ain't gonna make it with just a pewter gym badge, bro. Right.
Gotta go all the way.
He's gonna look at you like, bro, Brock is trash. I'm not listening to you. So yeah.
Brock is trash. that dude had no game.
Yeah.
He was like, how many people who listened to the show watched Pokemon? All that dude would do is just like, try and,
he had rock Pokemon.
No, but he would hit.
They're
him.
The worst,
Misty.
No, I don't mean like his Pokemon game. I think
the girls.
Yeah, the girls.
Oh, yeah. Bro, he was trying so hard, bro. You know, like Johnny Bravo. It was even worse. Yo. He was like, "Hey, oh, you're so beautiful." He's like, "Bro, get away from me."
Yo, his eyes were always closed.
Yeah,
until like he saw a hot chick, bro. And he always had like three Geodudes, and I'm like, "Bro, Geodude is trash. Why do you have Geo? He'll have a Geodude, a Golem, and then Gravatar,
Then
another Geodude, another Gravatar." I'm like, "Bro, you took an L with the first three. What makes you think the other three are gonna win for you? Like, what? Like every Pokemon breed like destroys you guys,
facts.
Like, you know, except for Electric. But you know, surfing Pikachu, done.
Finesse.
That was a dumb thing about that show. It was like." He electrocuted the Geodude because it got water on it or something. Like,
how is that possible?
Rock, dude.
The show broke so many rules.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a Pikachu would beat a Geodude. We know damn well that if like Geodude used like Earthquake or something, like the Pikachu would be dead.
Dude, anyone who's ever actually played the game is like, what's Pikachu going to do? Quick attack and tackle?
Yeah.
And then it's like doing one damage each turn and you're like, I'm just dying. This is pointless.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about Pokemon?
I don't know.
I don't know.
About the apocalypse.
Animals.
Yeah,
Pokemon.
Yeah, we found
But you could get a surfing Pikachu though.
Surfing Pikachu?
Yeah, Pokemon Stadium 64.
Yeah.
You had to do some stuff, and then you could teach your Pikachu surf.
I think your chat's loving the Pokemon discussion right now.
Well, let's do this. We're going to hard segue, because we had a conversation last night about critical race theory in schools.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Have you guys followed any of that stuff?
It's funny. We had Hotep on.
It. We were talking about it a little bit. Yeah.
So this is like, I don't know. I guess maybe esoteric is the right word. It's kind of scary, because more people should pay attention to this stuff. But one of the things we talked about in the bonus segment, which maybe we'll get into a bit more in the bonus segment for this one as it pertains to dating and stuff like this, mm-hmm. is how like the gender identity stuff is affecting future generations.
Mm. Yeah.
People aren't having families anymore. We talked a bit about climate change. I mean, there's articles where it's like having a child is one of the most destructive things you can do to the planet. So yeah. You've not heard this, but I'll just pull it up.
No. Damn,
let me see if I can pull it up.
So bad.
Having children is the most.
No, you said I could kind of think about it because if you raise a child the wrong way, they could probably like.
Oh yeah, facts.
Want to destroy the earth?
Yeah, that's true.
There'll be a liability on not just you, but like society in general.
Single mothers.
Let's do this. I know we talked about Pokemon for some reason, but we'll just we'll pretend we're segueing from the Florida climate change stuff into the dating stuff with this story.
All right, sure.
It's from 2017. Having children is one of the most destructive things you can do to the environment, say researchers. One fewer child per family can save average of 58.6 tons of CO2 equivalent emissions per year. So you got stories like this.
Wow.
And then you've got, I think people like AOC, you know, Ocasio-Cortez said, I'm worried about having kids because of the environment. You've got a lot of stories popping up where people saying they're not going to have kids for political reasons. And so, yeah, no joke, man. You look shocked by this.
Yeah.
Oh, this is stuff that we talk about quite a bit.
Bill Gates too, depopulation?
Mm-hmm. I think depopulation isn't the right word.
No.
Population management.
Mm. They want to slow the growth of population.
Or stop it to a great degree, or control it, right? And so it starts getting into scary conversations about eugenics, you know, choosing who gets to have kids and stuff. But I don't know what they're doing in that regard other than you've got articles popping up. This one says researchers from Lund University found having one fewer child could save, you know, 58.6 tons. Eating meat, driving a car, and traveling by airplane made up the list of the most polluting things that people can do on the planet. But having children was top, according to a new study. So, you know, I guess in terms of where we're headed, people don't have kids. People aren't getting married.
We do have the lowest birth rates.
Yeah.
In the West in general.
How old are you guys?
I'm 31.
31?
I'm 28.
Are you guys married with kids?
No, hell no.
Come on, bro. No way, man.
Your wife would be cool.
Definitely not.
It's funny. No, but think about like, I don't know about your parents' generation. Like, how old my parents were in their late 20s when they had multiple kids.
Yeah, same.
So my mom had my mom had me at like 40 years old.
Mm. Yeah. That explains a lot.
My stuttering. Nah, but my grandparents, man, like, they were together for like 70 years, man. Like, back then it was more like, you know, you find somebody, you know, you work through the problems and you figure it out. Now it is kind of like, hey, if you're not benefiting me, like, what's the point here? So regarding kids, it's kind of like, okay, what's the point of having kids with somebody that you don't really trust? So, you know, that goes into trust, you know, dating, relationships. So I would just say having kids is a big deal because now it's two people together for a lifetime. And most people, they want to be for a reason or a season, but not for the whole time. So
what's the point of having kids?
Continue the legacy.
I think it's more ego. And if it, I think it's more ego, bro, honestly.
Yeah, what?
Ego.
I mean, we're designed to procreate, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, okay, if you're living life, living a good life, why do you want kids?
Well, it's easy for us to say that now, but when you get older, you're going to want kids, bro. You know?
I don't know.
It's just that fortunately for us, we can like push the clock back longer.
Yeah,
for,
as men.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. As a guy, like, you can, you know, you can keep doing it until the day you die. But like, you know, for women, they got a finite amount of time.
Because I hear it, I want a little mini me.
Yeah.
I'm like,
heck yeah.
What do you want a mini me? Is it for your own personal gain or because you actually want a kid to enjoy life? That's some questioning, like, okay, is it about you, your ego, or is it about the kid itself?
Yeah. Everyone that has kids says it's the best thing they've ever done. So I believe the hype. But I'm not going to do it until, like, I'm completely ready. Because in today's day and age, you know, you got to be very cautious about doing it. But that's why I think, you know, so many people are putting children on the back burner to pursue a career making money.
But were our parents ready?
That's a good
question. Probably not.
No, they were not. They were not. You're right. They were not. Yeah.
My mom just had kids.
My mom was on vacation in Barbados when she had me. It was, I was a mistake.
Hi, mom.
Yeah, but isn't everybody like that? That's why it's always funny when you watch on TV shows and they say like a kid was an accident or whatever. I'm like, come on, dude. Like most kids are accidents.
Yeah.
Like nobody was like, all right, it's 7 p.m. on the 3rd. It's time to have a baby. Some people do it.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I want my kid to be born on Christmas.
And yeah.
They, all right.
You know,
we time it perfectly.
That's the worst day to be born too. Because my friends who had birthdays on Christmas,
oh,
they got like, they gonna get any? They got one present.
Steal the gifts.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Christmas.
Yeah.
That's Christmas worst. And your birthday. Congratulations. Here's your present. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Everybody else got presents.
Exactly.
You're right, Tim. You're never really ready for kids because like you might prepare for it, but it might happen when it's time. Who knows?
So what's the end result of this? I mean, we're talking about inflation. Mm-hmm. We're going to have, if we don't have more people, this weird, are you guys familiar with like the economic system and the Federal Reserve and all that stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not going to sustain itself if there's
not.
No more people.
Yeah.
So then
not.
What? It just
China's going to take over.
Uh-oh. You said it.
Oh, he said it.
You said it.
He said it.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Just put it bluntly, I guess. All right, well. It was a good run while it lasted. They got 1.4 billion people or whatever, so.
No, but I honestly believe, man, at some point in time, we're going to have a massive shift where it's going to be under one control, which is like the government, the food, you know, the money. And it's kind of like, okay, now that we control, you know, what's needed in life, like you have to do what I say. And the majority of people are going to kind of follow a trend. And if you don't follow the trend, you're going to be exercised from like, you know, the whole society, you know, the current system. So I'm thinking, you know what, China, think about their current setup. They're hardly having any kids. It's all business and structure, technology, how to expand, how to build an empire. Versus now, America's kind of like, you know.
Well, they want people to have kids now, though.
In China?
Yeah. Yeah, they got rid of that rule.
That's
one,
right.
One kid per family. It used to be a male, but now the mm-hmm. problem is that they've almost overcorrected to the point where, like, there's no women anymore. Like,
so
there's too many men, too many bachelors.
They buy North Korean slaves.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yeah, yeah. We actually had a woman from North Korea on the show, and she was saying, like, that's what they do. Because there's no women, so they just buy them from North Korea.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Jeez.
Creepy stuff. Yeah, man, the world's a dirty place, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it's nasty stuff going on.
But my question is,
China's like, we're going to win at any cost.
Right.
Do you actually want to have kids in this current climate right now? Do you really want to have kids?
No.
Yeah, but come on, man. People had kids during World War II. People had kids during Vietnam, you know? Like, the world was messed up in a lot of ways, and people still had kids. I think we're being inundated with propaganda like this, where they're like, you can't have kids. The environment, you know, it's really, really bad, and it's like, I mean, that's true, I suppose. Like, humans fart and poop and eat and stuff like that. But people have kids.
I wouldn't say the natural environment is the problem. Like, you know, with, you know, obviously pollution that plays into it. But I think it's more like raising a kid in today's day and age in this contemporary marketplace. Like, it's going to be tough, man. Like, yeah. Like, I mean, the family unit is not as strong as it used to be, you know, nowadays. You know, you got single moms all over the place. You know, there's a whole bunch of things which we get to cover later, but I mean, it would be tough to raise children now.
Honestly, so what's the future going to look like if we're not having kids? I mean, like, we're not.
China taking over, man.
China taking over.
Stick to it. Stick to it. I mean, if we don't have kids anymore and we're kind of like, you know, just, you know, doing our thing, it is selfish at the same time, but I understand why people do it. My thing is, if you don't have kids though, it's kind of like, we're going to be stuck in a certain like mindset and, you know, I would say hysteria, because now we're not bringing up new ideas and new people to think about certain things.
Good
so
point.
We're stuck in a certain like, you know, box of, okay, it's how we think. If you don't agree with it,
you need to propagate the next generation, you know. Yeah. And right now, the birth rates are the lowest they've ever been, you know, and there's a bunch of reasons for that. You know, you can feminism, you know, the cost of living has went up, inflation, all these other things. But, you know, people are millennials now. They're less likely to buy a home. You know, they'd rather rent. So there's a bunch of things, you know, why.
I don't believe that rather rent thing, though.
No?
No? That's absurd. Like, why would you rather rent?
You know what? They can't buy. That's the problem. They
especially
can't
with
buy.
BlackRock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally, like, our generation, they want to be entrepreneurs and invest, but they can't. They're working at Starbucks. They're working at, how are you going to invest without money? So it's kind of tough.
But here's the thing, man. Like, I'm like thinking, like, guys my age group, like, very few of my friends actually own a home. They rent.
That's true.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, guys like in our age group, like, that I guess would be considered millennials.
Yeah.
They're less likely to buy a home, you know? But yeah, I agree that, yeah, credit is a part of it. Mm-hmm. And then also they're pushing back, because I've always said it, like, there's really no need to buy a home unless you're going to have kids.
Kids.
Because then you're tied down to that area. And the only reason you would want to be tied down to a geographic area is for a good school.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't, you know, if you're a single guy or even if you're in a relationship with a woman, you know, together, a monogamous relationship, like, unless you're going to have kids, I wouldn't buy a home, because I think it's like not a, it's kind of throwing money at you. You lose your leverage to be able to maneuver around and do what you want to do, because you're confined to one geographic area
but
on a house.
That's not true.
No.
You just go to a rental management company and then, you buy, let's say you buy a house and you live there for 1 year, like you're going to do a lease. Then you decide, yeah, I don't want to live here anymore. I don't want to deal with this. There's probably hundreds or thousands of rental management companies, and you just say,
oh yeah, if you rent it out and you do that's good. But what
you
most
didn't
have
to think
do,
about it.
Yeah, but most people
literally,
they're going to keep the house. That's what I'm saying. Like,
no,
a lot
no,
of people
but you
want
still
to live
own
it.
So
you still
here,
own it. Yeah,
so what happens is, you buy a house, you own it, you're paying less per month to live there. And then when you decide to leave and go somewhere else, you call a rental management company, you sign a paper, you walk away, and you don't think twice. You don't even think about the house anymore. It's yours, and then all of a sudden, every few months, some money appears in your bank account.
Yeah, if it's like for that, where you're going to rent it back out, that's great. But a lot of people, you know, they're not.
I would say
they're going to buy the house and like live in it, and be like, I have a house. You know what I'm saying? Like the American dream, you know, the white picket fence, a home in a good school district. I can send my kids to school. You know, that's why a lot of people buy a home in
they
a nice area
is from ego too as well. They're like, oh, this is my house. This is where I have things. This is where I have my parties. So when they leave, it's like, okay, I'm leaving everything behind. Yeah. But I get what you're saying. You can do that as an option.
Yeah.
But majority of people that I've seen in the real estate community
that buy
Florida,
a house and live in it,
and then they just
stay.
Dip.
Yeah.
I don't think there's good schools anymore, though. To be honest, that might be an issue too.
I would say we're getting there. We're like this. Pretty soon, you're going to just have to send your kids to
home
private school or
homeschool
them.
Homeschool,
we're going to get there to that point very soon.
Oh, we're there now, dude.
Yeah, you think
so, like, man? We had this Azra Noumani on the other day, and she's working with a bunch of parents targeting critical race theory and critical theory in schools.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff they're teaching kids, man, is just insane.
Mind-blowing. You should have seen the books that she brought.
Mind-blowingly insane. Like, what do you think, kids?
Indoctrination on steroids?
Yeah. Like, what do you, like,
worse than college campuses?
Yes.
It was like the same.
So like
giving it to first graders.
No, like you imagine like a worksheet for a third grader is going to be like, you know, a train leaves Cincinnati going 50 miles an hour, and then a train leaves Chicago going 70 miles an hour. Like, you know, math problems like that. We're looking at this workbook and it's like, what makes you uncomfortable in your black skin?
What?
Like asking a child that and then having them write down. But the thing is, it's a loaded question. There was like one of the questions, no joke, was something like, why do you think black people are uncomfortable in their skin? That was like one of the questions.
Shraggy?
And I was
what?
Like,
say what?
But you see how the question's loaded? Like it's asserting it as true.
Yeah.
And so the kid has to believe that's
and
true.
Asking you why you think it's true.
Yep. Right. Asserting it is true. And there was one, it was like, how can you be a better, what did it say? Gender, race,
race or racial gender?
It's just psychobabble.
Oh, like, dude, if that's the case, then obviously, I went to school in the 90s, right? So, like, back then, you know, you were still, you know, coloring in circles and stuff. Like, oh, don't mess outside the line. And, you know, playing tic-tac-toe and, you know, maybe, you know, getting some fights in the schoolyard, whatever it is. But, like, now, if that stuff's going on, that's a clown world, bro.
Dude,
yeah. I did not realize that the school system has changed that much.
That's why I asked the question. do we really want to have kids in this current climate? Like, I mean, honestly, homeschool is the only way I would actually do it. That's the only way I would do it, honestly.
Damn. Homeschool, man, same. For sure.
But like, see, but the negative to that is that, like, you kind of want them to be around other kids too, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's I think one of the beauties of, like, sending your kids to public school is, like, they build a friend group. They learn how to interact with other people. They learn, like, what's socially acceptable, what isn't, you know? I think bullying is good, personally. Like, I grew up, I got bullied as a kid, and it made me a better man, you know? If you were a weirdo or whatever, like, you'd get picked on for it, but then you would know, man, maybe I shouldn't act like this or whatever. It kind of, some people make some people it breaks them.
Right.
But, you know, it lets you know.
Just bring your kids to the skate park.
You could do that too.
And there's a bunch of other kids.
Or get them involved in sports.
Yeah.
Get them involved in sports.
Bring them out into public spaces and community events.
Play an instrument.
The problem with these schools is you don't actually know what they're teaching your kids, and you can't just give that responsibility to strangers.
Yeah.
And that was a mistake parents made for a long time. Because even outside of the indoctrination of weird culty ideologies and, like, racist garbage.
College campuses are awful right now.
Yeah, dude, man. We hear stories about, like, a dad who's like, I sent my 18-year-old daughter to college. She came back hating me, and her head was shaved. She was wearing weird clothes, and her face is all pierced up.
You're toxically masculine, dad, you know?
Yeah,
it's crazy, man. It's a clown world. But, with kids, I mean... If it's like that,
let's talk about the other aspect of this.
Yeah, sure.
The future and everything is obviously the dating stuff, which you guys get into a lot. But I got a theory for you guys.
I'm learning though. I ain't having no kids. All right, cool.
I'm sure you guys have talked about something related to this, because you probably talk about you do talk about dating more than we do. So I think dating apps and dating websites are one of the reasons why people aren't having kids. And it's probably a really big reason. There was also a study that came out that found something like a third of men under 29 are virgins. So the reason I think for it is back in the day, kids are in college, right?
Yeah.
18-year-olds go to college.
Yep.
These young 18-year-old women, they only know the people in their college. So probably up to 22, maybe 24, maybe an older college professor. Ooh, that was taboo. But for the most part, they're going to parties with people similar in age to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with dating apps, they just open up an app and there's a 35-year-old guy who's got a car, who's got his own apartment, and she swipes right on him. He's like, oh, he's got a convertible. Then she sees a 20-year-old guy who's at her college, and she swipes right on him. She thinks he's attractive. She gets two messages. The 20-year-old college student guy says, you want to come hang out at my dorm with me and my friends and watch Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
The 35-year-old guy says, you want to hop in my convertible? We'll go drive to my lake house and chill out in the infinity pool. Which one's she going to pick?
Yeah, she's gonna pick the older guy.
I mean, yeah. We could break this down. Like, we have theories on exactly why this is going down the way it is. But sorry,
that's it. Yeah, yeah. So, what do you think?
You want to take it first?
BBD.
You go. Off. Okay, you first.
No, you go first.
No, bro, I won.
No, that means you go first.
No. I won. So you go first.
Okay, man.
You had paper.
So I like that rule. Sister. Basically, right? You're right, because right now we're in a social media age where you can see what wasn't normally in front of you before. So what's happening is, like you said earlier, girls are on platforms like Instagram, you know, they're on Facebook, they're also on, like, you know, TikTok, and you're seeing these very, I would say, affluent guys with, you know, a lifestyle that they want to be a part of. Versus the guy at college is kind of like, okay, let's go party in the dorms, let's get lit. But it's kind of like what she did already. So now she's opened up the whole new world, and she might be in Idaho or even Texas, whatever, and a guy says, hey, I'm in LA, I'm in Miami, come out to see me, and let's get lit. And that's a whole new world to her, and she's excited. So I would say girls like lifestyle now more than anything else, and now they can actually see it through social media, and they want to be a part of it. However, most guys that are young or in school, they don't have that lifestyle, they don't have that abundance. So I just, hey, you know what? Let's go here, there, everywhere, because obviously they're still in school, don't have a lot of money saved up. The point being here is that, like, girls don't have huge access to people that they never had before, right. And the problem is that, like, there's no, like, buffer for guys that are, like, up and coming. So they choose the bigger, better deal, BBD.
There was some posts from Mike. You guys know Mike Cernovich?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was posting about how at the highest level of dating, the most attractive men, it's like guys on Instagram with successful accounts, and they're super rich and they're super desirable. And what they do is they just see an Instagram account for a, you know, an attractive woman, and then just DM her and be like, hey, yo, we got reservation at this fancy restaurant. You want a table? You want an invite? And they're like, yeah. And then they're hanging out with rich, successful, attractive dudes. Whereas dating apps, that's just for mediocre people. That's what he was saying. Like, who's wasting their time on that?
It's funny because we have an Instagram course because we believe Instagram is the number one dating platform in the world, right? And we say all the time, hey, you build up a good Instagram page, that's your new resume. So now they can see your lifestyle and who you really are. And before, you just had dating apps or whatever, and it's like some pictures, maybe a bio, and that's it. Now they can see your stories, your highlights, everything in between. So we teach guys, hey, you know what? Instead of relying on dating apps, do everything. But with Instagram, now you have leverage returns. Like, you can go on the explore page. You can find girls there. You can hit them up randomly. You can go to, like, let's say you want to go to Colombia, right? I can put a hashtag Colombia in the search bar. From there, I can find a list of girls that tag that same location. I say, you know what? I'm going to Colombia in 2 weeks. Let's go get some drinks and party. There you go. Boom. And you do that to 20 people. Out of 20, 10 might respond. Out of 10, you might see 5. But before you even get there, you got girls lined up for you off rip. That's powerful because social media and scale. So I'm just saying, for guys nowadays, if you want to have the most options possible, get on Instagram or some platform like that, that's social media driven, that has a large base. You can go anywhere in the world. You can geolocation, like I said, Colombia, Brazil, wherever you want to go, and you can find what you want. But that being said, nowadays, if you don't have a good profile, you're kind of losing out on a lot of access to girls, I would say.
Yeah. So, so I'll break this down from A to Z.
Let's go.
So why this is happening? Cause what you mentioned is basically like a byproduct of the current dating marketplace we have now, which is basically a globalized sexual marketplace. Just like the world is globalized, the dating marketplace has become globalized as well. And what's happened is, to understand this, well, we got to know first, right? For the guys out there that might not be familiar with us, we talk about something called hypergamy, right? Which is like women dating up, wanting a man that's, you know, better than them in different facets of life. You know, typically it's, you know, they want the provisioning and security on one end, but they also want an attractive guy that's physically attractive as well from a height standpoint, jawline, physique, etc. So, and shout out to Rolo Tomasi. He talks about this book, and talks about this in his book, The Rational Male, the two sides of hypergamy.
Yep.
So in today's day and age with the globalized marketplace, girls have more options than ever before. So if a girl's on a dating app, women have all the leverage on dating apps because almost 80% of the users on dating apps are men. Mm-hmm. So supply and demand. There's far more men, far fewer women, so the women can be selective. So even girls that aren't necessarily as attractive have higher standards now because they have the ability to do so. And not only that, they have also have Instagram. Like Fresh was saying, Instagram is really the number one dating app in the world. And if a girl has a moderately attractive profile, she's going to get DMs and messages from all types of guys that you mentioned before, guys with blue check marks, guys that are athletes, guys that are celebrities, rappers, whatever it is. They're hosting parties. And what's happened is, with the way the world is now, a woman that was in, let's say, Idaho, we always like to use the state Idaho, right? In the middle of nowhere, she's attractive in her local area. The guys that would have been potential good mates, those guys are now invisible to her because she's getting hit up by higher status men in LA, in Miami, in Vegas, whatever. And I'll travel to that guy. You know, it's going to be way more fun. I'll go hang out with him. He has money. He has resources. He has a cool lifestyle. You know, we always say women trap with their thirst trap with their bodies, men thirst trap with their lifestyle. And that's what Instagram allows people to do. Mm-hmm. So women, since women date up and they want the bigger, better deal, they're not going to settle on a guy that's just good enough if they can get something better. So what's happened is, since women have an abundance of options, they just pick at the top. And if you go through any attractive woman's Instagram, you're going to see a whole bunch of blue checks, celebs, whatever it is. And these are average women getting this type of attention. So what happens? The average guy gets kind of left out on the dust. And this is why so many men in the age group that you were saying, from like 18 to 29, are virgins. And we actually talk about on our podcast that if you were to take virgins in 2021, I would be willing to bet a majority of them would be men and not women. And women are
It's true. There was a study that came out. There is an increase in virgin women, but it's substantially less. The increase in men under the age of 29 who are virgins is really, it skyrocketed to like a third.
Yeah, it was like 20-some percent. Now it's 30% or something like that.
No, it was way bigger than that. It was like in the teens and then just doubled. And then for women, it wasn't even that big of a jump, but it did go up.
Yeah, and we say it all the time, you know, some people disagree or whatever, but from what we're seeing, women typically want the top 10 to 20% of men, and they're getting, those are the guys that are having relations with most of the women. And it's actually very funny because on our podcast, one of the questions we like to ask, just to kind of get a gauge of the room, the temperature. Hey, ladies, what percentage of men do you think are actually, you know,
active,
right? Try to keep it YouTube friendly. And they're always like, oh, 70%, 80%, 90%, 100%. They're all banging. And we're like, no, only like maybe 10 to 20% of men are like having all the girls. And when we say that, they're like shocked, like what? And it just goes to show, I tell guys all the time, women don't live in the same reality that we do a lot of the times. You know, they kind of have dating on easy mode and they're not used, they don't even see a lot of guys. A lot of men are invisible to them because if they don't meet a certain metric and they're social media, online dating, whatever, it's created this illusion of abundance almost to a fault.
Yeah.
So that's what's kind of been going on.
There was another study where they asked men and women to rate attractiveness of, you know, women to men, men to women. And they
saw that Tinder study.
Yeah, it was the one. Was it the one where they found that men rate women on an even scale? where it's like the ugly women are ugly and the average women are average and the hot women are hot, but women rate men on an extremely imbalanced scale where 80% of men are unattractive. Mm. And only the hottest men are attractive.
Absolutely. Like 88%. It's either OkCupid or Tinder that they pulled that from. But yeah, and the reason why is because women are far more selective on online dating apps because they have the leverage. Like there's far more men and far less women. And on top of that, the apps, the only person that really, the person that loses the most with online dating apps like Tinder, Bumble, etc., is really the men. Because for the guy, for you to be able to get a quarter of the access that women have, you have to pay for some kind of subscription service to be able to swipe more, to be able to, you know, run the numbers. Because anyone that's good with women will tell you it's a numbers game. You know, top guys in the world close maybe 10% of their leads. And, you know, whether you're meeting or through online dating, cold approach during the day, cold approach during night, Instagram, whatever it is. A guy that's top tier closes 10%. And when I say that, women think I'm speaking Chinese. It's like, no, it's actually very difficult for men. And then on an online dating app where they have all the leverage, it's even tougher. So we always tell guys you need a good Instagram account as well to augment your online dating profile, because on a balance of probabilities, if she swipes on you, she's still going to think you're corny to some degree or not really find you that attractive. So you have to augment your entire, how do I say this? It's like a sales page.
Yeah, you want a rude awakening? Go to your friend's, your hot girlfriend's Instagram DMs or a friend of a friend's DMs. Look at her DMs. You're going to see blue check marks. You're going to see athletes, everything in between. And go to every girl's DMs. You're going to see the same thing. There's no big skill here, a big change. They're all being hit up by these celebrities, and it's kind of like, okay, how do you compete with that? You can't.
Yep.
No matter what you do, you can't. So all you can do is level up to the best you can, fitness, mindset, lifestyle, be the best person you can be, and at that point, leverage social media.
Guys ever watch King of the Hill?
Yeah.
Yes.
You ever see that episode where Hank asks, he asks Boom Howard to teach Bobby how to pitch woo? You know this one?
No,
I have not seen this episode.
So he's like, Boomhauer is like good with the ladies. Like, Boomhauer, will you teach Bobby how
even
to,
though
like,
no one understands him.
And Boomhauer is like, you know, I got you hanging. You know, I'll teach Bobby. So he takes Bobby to the shoe store. And then he's like, all right, Bobby, I'm going to teach you how to pick up women. And then Boomhauer walks up to a woman and goes, hey, girl, what's going on? You know, give me that number and I'll hit you up sometime. And then she's like, she slaps him. And then he walks up to another woman and goes, hey, damn, girl, looking pretty good. You're going to give me that number. I'll hit you up sometime. And then she like slaps him. And then he keeps doing it. And then he finally gets a number.
Yeah.
And he walks up to Bobby. He's like, oh, look at that. Bobby got a phone number right there. And then Bobby's like, that's the secret, Mr. Boomhauer. You just ask every woman. And he goes, shh, come on, that's a secret. Shh. But that was it.
Yeah.
Boomhauer just asked every single woman until he finally got a number.
People think I'm crazy. So in Miami, right? When I first moved there back in 2018, I used to do something. It's called night game, right? But like when you go out at night to the clubs, bars, whatever it is to meet girls, right? I used to go 1 for 40, man. And people think like, what? You had to talk to 40 girls to find one that like wanted to leave with you? I was like, yeah, bro, it's tough. Cause like when you go out at night, you're playing like on ultra hard mode. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because the music is loud. Bouncers are trying to, you know, CBU, I'll keep you too friendly. You know, you got the friends that are trying to CBU, you got to pay for drinks. You know, there's a bunch of things that distract and, can hurt you in that kind of arena, but I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was when I first moved to Miami in 2018, but it takes a lot of work because you got to cold approach a bunch of girls, figure out which ones want you, which ones don't. And then the biggest thing is a lot of girls just like attention, right? A lot of women like to sit there and talk with you and get your non-sexual attention. So you got to be able to like kick those girls to the curb immediately.
Let's get the feminists all angry right now.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Let's do it.
So let's go.
The one story that I always bring up that always triggers like this wave, like I'll see my name trending after I talk about it. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. I don't care.
they love us too.
As women start making more money, men who make as much money as them are unattractive.
Ooh.
And so we have a study. Lack of economically attractive men to blame for decline in marriage rates, study suggests. This is a big story in 2019.
Yeah.
And there was another story from the New York Post talking about women in their 30s struggle to find men who make as much money as them. And the funny thing about it, the story about women not being able to find men who make as much money as them, it's like the initial assumption was, where are all the good men? Like, why is it so hard for a woman in her 30s who makes $50,000 a year to find a man who's equal to her? And the issue is, they seem to think these men don't exist. That's not the case. It's that if you're a 35-year-old woman who makes $50,000 a year and you're like, you know, a manager at a business of some sort, a man who's 35 years old, who's a manager who makes $50K, is not trying to date you. He's trying to date a 22-year-old. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm not passing judgment or criticizing women. I'm saying quite literally dudes want to date young women. And it's like we were mentioning just a moment ago in the previous segment about how, you know, these guys who have careers and have cars and have apartments are on dating apps or Instagram, and they can hit up this college student or a chick in Idaho who's mm-hmm. like, you know, now she has access to every man. So this 35-year-old guy is not trying to hook up for the most part, or at least mm-hmm. I should say as a tendency. So then you end up with women upset they can't find economically attractive men. And then you end up with the study talking about divorces.
Yep.
That when men don't make more money than the woman, the women don't like want to be in the women don't want to be in the relationship anymore.
Yeah. And this is an uncomfortable reality for women. And the thing is that women got to understand that men have standards too. It's just that when I know it's shocking, right?
Shut up, standards.
Because yeah. Like the thing is this: if a woman says, "I want a man that makes a certain amount of money, $100,000 a year," tends to be what most women want: 6 feet tall, attractive, whatever, confidence. That's okay. That's considered preferences. But if a man says, "I want a woman that's young, attractive, and not annoying or crass," that's considered discrimination. And that's the problem. And a lot of women don't understand this, because if a man speaks his mind on what he really likes in women, he can get canceled, be called a misogynist, whatever it is. So very few men tell the truth about what they're attracted to in women. And the reality, ladies, I'll tell you, the more money you make, and the older you get, the less negotiating power you have in the relationship world. Because the things that make a woman attractive are not the same things that make a man attractive. Women think, a lot of the times, tend to base their value on masculine traits. Mm-hmm. How much they earn, their career, etc. That is asinine. That's like me saying, hey, listen, I look really good in some heels. I can walk in a dress. And as a matter of fact, I'm really feminine. Every girl would be repulsed if I told her that. She'd be like, oh, no, that's not what I'm into. That's exactly how men feel when a woman says, I'm a career woman, I'm strong and independent. It's just that men rarely voice this, because to say that, you're immediately going to be hit with some kind of shame language. So most guys don't voice what they really want in women, and they just act on it instead. What happens? Older women get left in the dust, and the men that they actually want, that make money, have status, etc., they go for younger, more attractive girls, because men are attracted to youth and beauty. No matter what society wants to say, reality does not adhere to social constructs. I have to say this all the time to like angry feminists. Reality does not adhere to social constructs. Just because you have a degree and you make money, that's cool. Nothing wrong with that. But understand, it's not going to increase your sexiness by having a career.
And here's what we hear a lot of. You always try to, there's always some defense. Like, imagine if a dude, you mentioned looking good in heels or whatever. I think, imagine if a dude said, my goal is to be a stay-at-home dad and raise kids. You know, I don't want to be in the workplace. I want to get married and have kids at a young age. That's not attractive. I mean, there are certainly women who find that attractive, of course. There's no absolutes. There's a lot of different people with different preferences. But it's a tendency. You say something like that, oh, they get – this is what triggers the feminists. This is facts. Why they tweet about it. Because guys want to go off on adventures. Guys want to go hunting. Guys want to accomplish that goal. They don't want to be stuck at home. They want to be – you know, it's different. Obviously, there are guys that do. Yeah. There are guys that wish they could spend more time with their kids. And there are people who are upset they spend too much time in the office. But there are tendencies. So if you're put it this way, the house always wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know why the house always wins at a casino? Because the odds for, say, roulette or for craps is 51% in the house's favor.
Yep.
Which means over a long enough period of time, you will lose. You can maybe go in, throw that dice at one time, get lucky and win the jackpot. But that's the exception, not the rule. When it comes to dating, even if it's just 51% of men who don't like this and 51% of women who don't like that, that's a pressure where you in the dating marketplace will keep experiencing this, and you'll say, why is it so hard for me to find a guy who just wants to be a stay-at-home dad? Or a guy who says, why is it so hard to find a woman who just wants to be the CEO of a company to be my wife?
I got a perfect segue for that. You just said something magical, which I have to say on the podcast. As you guys know, on our show, we bring ladies into the show, a lot of career women, a lot of women that are entrepreneurs, and they ask us, how do I land a guy like this? Or they just, you know, they toss me to the side, whatever. The problem is that a lot of women don't understand that concept you just said. A lot of women operate on possibilities instead of probabilities. And the reality is, the probability is when you have a lot, when you make money, you're successful, you're a strong, independent woman, and you're in your 30s, the probability that you're going to find an attractive man that makes as much money as you, if not more, is confident, attractive, all these traits that women typically want in men. Probability is low, but the problem is this. I'm gonna say it. A lot of women live in a Disney fairy tale, okay? Women are told life is all good, sugar and spice, and on top of that, privilege is invisible to those that have it. If a woman was attractive in her 20s and late teens and was getting attention from men, she's going to continue to think, I will continue to get the same attention and validation from men into my 30s. But they don't realize until they're in their 30s and they're not necessarily as attractive, and they can't compete, right, on what men actually want, youth and beauty. Then that's when the reality hits them, and they operate on possibilities. Well, you know what?
it's still possible for me to get my Prince Charming, my my Prince, but they don't realize that that possibility is very slim. And men, fortunately for us, we live in a fact-based reality when it comes to dating. Men know deep down you must create. If you don't create, you're not going to procreate, period. Mm-hmm. But women, you know, they don't realize it until later on that I work so hard for my career and I can't get a guy. But no, you're using masculine traits and now you've pretty much pissed away your ability to have that negotiating power to get a high status guy.
Have you ever seen the marketplace value study? I think it was OkCupid that did this. And I think they deleted a lot of these because
they
was offensive to the woke. But what it shows is that women start off, young women have the maximum possible societal value in terms of what humans are willing to protect and defend. Young women start off at 100. That's the line. Young men, guess where they start? Zero.
Below zero.
Yeah, well, it's just the bottom. It's like on a scale of 0 to 100, men are at zero. Young men are at zero. Why? Well, they're younger, so they're not as attractive. They're not typically masculine and, you know, they're not ripped. They're not chiseled. They don't have any money. They don't have any status. They've earned nothing. They're starting from the bottom. Mm-hmm. Why would anyone want that? Rarely. Young women, however, and this is mostly due to biology, whether anyone wants to believe it or not, this is what the studies show, and I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying men are attracted to young women for their ability to procreate.
Yep.
They're attractive. They want to have kids. They want to have families. What happens is over time, men start to become more valuable by earning status, making money, collecting resources, and women start to become less societally valuable. Again, I'm not saying it's a good thing, because they're getting older and their ability to have kids is dwindling and diminishing. Eventually, there's a nexus point. There's like a point at which men, I think it's around 30.
Yes.
Where men and women,
they start to intersect.
They even out. Mm. And then what happens is women go down and men start going up. So men who are in, I think it might have been Cernovich was saying this, could be wrong. Like 30.
Yeah, Rollo Tomasi has a graph on it where shows this axis, which is like the women's prime is like 18 to 24.
Right.
And then a man is typically in their 30s, you know.
Like 35 to 50 or something.
Yeah, 35 to 50. The thing is that a woman's value, it shines the hardest and brightest, but it's for a smaller period of time. For men, if they do the work, of course, you know, if you're 35 years old and you're broke, it don't matter. But, you know, if you do the work, you can shine for a longer period
of time. And I want to stress too, this is not a personal opinion of value. This is a number based on, the study I'm referring to looked at messages. Who was getting hit up on dating websites?
Yes.
And it wasn't so much as to say, like, I think they outlined this. They're saying, we're not saying people are more or less valuable as human beings. We're saying that in the dating world, women get messages at a declining rate from 24 and then onward.
Mm-hmm.
Men get an increasing amount of message as time goes on. But there was also another funny metric in that where they found that women tend to message men equal to their age. Men always message 22-year-olds.
Yeah. And I know that study you're talking about. Universally, between men between the ages of 18 all the way to 60, almost always prefer women between the ages of 18 to 24.
Twenty-two was like the number.
Yeah,
like the age of the man is going up, and the woman is just at 22 the whole time.
Yeah, we had a 35-year-old woman on the show, right, late night show, and was saying like, "Yo, I wish someone told me these things when I was younger," because she would go out to the club, and it's like she's seen a 22-year-old getting picked up by guys, you know, getting hollered at. She's like, "Wow, I'm not getting that same attention," and it's kind of like she understood if she had choose that time back, you know, back then when she was like in her 20s properly, she could probably lock down a man that actually cared about her. Now it's kind of like, okay, I messed up those years of my life. I'm 35 years old. What do I have left to give? And your youth isn't there. And guys want youth.
I think
the problem is that like girls don't really know what men really want. And men, I would say men kind of know what women want, but it's kind of like they are putting themselves in a box saying, hey, you know what? I can have fun in my 20s, get lit, travel.
Men can afford to try to figure it out. Women can't.
They can't.
That's the difference.
They hit the wall.
Like men, like you could take 10 to 15 years to figure it out and come into your prime later on. Women don't get that benefit, you know? And the thing is that, like I said, they like to measure their value in masculine standards, which is asinine because that's like me saying I can fit, just like I said earlier, if I could wear heels and walk in a dress, you should like me too. And that's how women sound when they say I have a career.
Yeah.
They base it off masculine traits.
But you know, attractiveness matters. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, what you're saying about masculine traits is what I think triggers feminists so severely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
The reason why, like, this is the one video where it's like all of a sudden I see all these feminists tweeting about me is because they were told their whole lives, you need to get a career. You need to be the CEO. You need to break the glass ceiling. And so they're like, okay, that's what I got to do. Then they hit their 30, they're in their 30s, and they are in that senior level position or the VP position, and they're like, I did it. now how are my prospects for the things I want? And guys are like, oh, I respect you, but I don't want to have a family with you.
Exactly.
And that must be like getting smacked in the face with a bag of bricks.
See,
you can find men who do for sure, but as you already stated, like, what ends up happening is women then have to start lowering their standards to find a man who's going to be.
And
also,
they will not do it.
We found from the show, women will never submit. They'd rather die alone with dogs and cats than submit to a guy that they don't want. And here's the scary part. They've been lied to, like you said, their whole life. So now it's like, okay, they're awakened to what's the truth. And it's like, I'm fighting it because I don't want to submit. But here's the problem though. You have to. Cause that's your only way out now because you waited too long to close that gap. So I'm just saying to women out there, like, if you hear this right now, you're young, take it for what it is. Because if you don't, you wait too long to find this man to settle down with. In your 30s, it's kind of like, okay, why is he going to choose you over the 22-year-old? Why?
And I'll say this too for the women out there that want to chase a career and everything. I'm not saying don't chase a career and don't make money.
Mm-hmm.
Just know the consequences of that are you're going to have a smaller pool of suitable candidates that meet your requirements. And on top of that, it's not going to increase your sexual market value. Your money does not come into that like it does for a man. So chase your career, but you should also be working on trying to find a guy as well. And the thing is that women prioritize chasing a career and they don't actually prioritize like being a good girlfriend or being a good wife or being a good partner for a man. And they're going to put their career over that. And the thing is that you have the most negotiating power and ability to lock down a high status man that you want when you're young and attractive, not later on.
They're not trying to be what men want. They're trying to be what society has told them to be.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so you can keep saying social construct over and over and over again, but the reality is guys, you look at OkCupid's data and they behave a certain way. By all means, feminists, you're allowed to insult those men. When I did the segment, they were like, you know, Tim Pool's basically saying that men are losers who are immature. And I'm like, fine, I don't care. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying if that's what you believe, you're allowed to believe that. You're allowed to be upset that men don't want to date you. Just recognize that's what the data shows, and I'm not saying it's a good thing. But that's literally the studies come out from several different outlets saying guys want 22-year-olds.
Yeah.
They don't care about career. In fact, salary is bad. High-paying women, men don't like it
right.
for whatever reason. And women, when this is what we find in the study. When a woman makes six figures, she won't want to stay in a relationship with a man who's making the same amount or less than her.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's all women, and I'm not saying it's a good thing. That's just what the studies come out, they show.
I'll take it a step further.
Yeah.
Career women, the least happy demographic of female, I think it was a study from 2011,
yeah.
of human being actually, 42-year-old woman, unmarried, no children, in a career.
Yep.
That is the least happy demographic of human being. And I've said this before on the podcast, you guys could say it's controversial or not. I say women don't derive the same pleasure and fulfillment from careers and earning money that men do.
Yes.
Men are built to work hours and go through adversity and earn and bring it home to a family. Women are not. And that's why, just like you said before, the reason why so many women divorce a man if they make more money than them or whatever is because when you're the breadwinner, it inadvertently puts you in a leadership position within the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said on the podcast before, women are incapable of leading men within the confinements of a relationship. And as a matter of fact, if you put her in that leadership role, she's going to lead you all right to the end of the relationship because women are not built to lead or provision long term for men, period.
Let's get more offensive to the feminists.
Let's do it.
So we got the story. This is from Daily Mail. Women reveal how their appearances have dramatically changed since they met their partners, saying comfort eating, birth control, and babies have completely altered their bodies. This is, in many ways, the purpose of marriage. Young women and young men getting together and having a contract to each other under God till death do us part. Because back in the day, it's a problem if a dude continuously becomes more valuable and more attractive and the woman doesn't. And then you end up with a bunch of angry women and you end up with a bunch of philandering men or womanizing men. To have structure, they said, okay, we'll do marriage. Well, nowadays, divorce. Marriage is meaningless. There was a meme where it was a guy on his knee with a ring and he says, will you enter into a government contract with me that you're allowed to break at any time? And if you do, you get half my stuff. And she says, yes, yes, a million times yes. It's like, if that's the mentality that we have this today, there's no guarantee in marriage. Why would anyone do it? Back in the day, if you tried to get divorced, the judge would be like, I sentence you to marriage counseling. Like, you can't. You've got to figure it out. And you guys have a mutual agreement with each other. You've got a family. You're going to raise it. And it made sense. So today, I think this is a good example of why there was marriage. You got images of these women. We're just going to show. I mean, these are posts they show themselves. Being a size 6 meeting my BF. And here's her 2 years later as a 12 to 14 due to contraception and eating bad food the first few months of after meeting him. So now she's you know getting overweight. Here's one where she's like, here's me first, me and my BF, and now here's her now. To be fair, this one she's actively pregnant, so I don't think that's actually fair to criticize her. Here's one where she's like, here's how I look, I'm fat. There are a ton of women, celebrities or otherwise, who have kids and then go work out and get fit, get back in shape, because they're trying to look good. And there are a lot of women that look really, really good as soon as they get married. That's the trope. They let themselves go.
Mm-hmm.
That's why is it that in TV shows they have that trope of letting themselves go?
So I'll say this, right? Think about this. You play a game, right? And let's say you're playing level 1. Okay, you're doing whatever you need to do to make level 2. At the last stage, level 10, is a boss, right? At the boss fight, you pull all the stops. You upgrade your weapons. You know?
Finally use your potions.
Exactly. Exactly. So you have the last legendary weapon. You slay the boss. Now you're finished the game. You're not putting any more effort into the game because you already won the game. Same thing with relationships with these women. They find a guy that they can lock down and can take care of them. And they put all the effort into it at the beginning to get that guy.
Yeah.
Now that they got the guy, it's like, okay, if I leave, I get to have his stuff and I'll be good. So I can do whatever I feel like because now he's under my frame. So I feel like marriage itself, church and store, definitely has a place for women to strive. But for men, it's a very detrimental thing to do because you can end. And I want to say this, right? So women have the advantage because they can leave anytime and get what they want. But the guy, if he leaves, he's going to lose. So I'm just saying in that situation, they have all the leverage and just them just being there. They can win and do whatever they feel like because now they leave, like I said before, they get everything and that's it.
I think that prenuptial agreements should be automatic and mm-hmm. that you should have to file to do away with it. The idea that there is no prenup going into it and that mm-hmm. everything you used to own is now half owned by that person because of the signage is insane to me.
Here's the problem though. Prenups don't always work.
No.
And if you do a prenup, let's say they can say it was under duress. You know, he forced me to do it. So they can always wheel their way out. My thing is, okay, why even get... This pisses me off, bro. Because it's kind of like, I understand why women leverage sex against men in marriages because they can. Because think about it. If you leave your wife and you've been together for 10 years, alimony, child support, all these things come into play and you're stuck there. So my thing is, these women can take advantage because the law allows them to. So how do you avoid this? Don't get married.
Mm. Here's a really interesting tidbit. We mentioned this in a previous segment. One of a large factor in divorces is the woman making more money than the man. The man is no longer attractive when he's not economically attractive because, like you guys mentioned, what are women looking for? Lifestyle, status, confidence. So if they're in a relationship and the woman is making a bunch of money, I have the story from Market Watch. They actually say it. They frame it in a very funny way. They say, this one thing in your marriage increases the risk of divorce by 33%.
I hate that headline.
And they're basically, and they show the image. When the man is making more than the woman, things are good. When the woman is making more than the man, things are bad. Basically, when the man is no longer attracted to the woman, she leaves. What about these guys that they're in a relationship? This woman says she beat the game. She lets herself go. She doesn't exercise. She doesn't eat right anymore. Now she's overweight and unattractive. It's wrong for the guy to be like, I'm not attracted to this anymore. You've broken your agreement with me.
Here's the problem. And I've said this on the show many times and I'll say it. I'm going to probably trigger some feminists right now. But the thing is this, women want traditional men, but they don't want to necessarily be traditional women.
Yep.
They want a guy that's taller than them, makes more money than them, confident, attractive, etc. If someone breaks into the house, he can handle it and protect her and be willing to die for her. Right. But she ain't going to make him a sandwich. Oh, you toxic misogynist. Make your own sandwich. So they want to be modern women when it suits them, but they want to be traditional when it suits them as well. And that's the problem. That's why we tell guys don't get married nowadays. Don't put yourself in a situation where the woman has all the leverage.
Yep.
Because when she has the leverage, bad things are going to happen. And we know it because look at 80% of divorces are initiated by women. So mm-hmm. you see what happens when women have leverage. They leave. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. Like as a man, you have a burden of performance. Men don't ask for much from women. Women ask far more of men than men ask of women. So my thing is something simple like bedroom fun. We'll keep it YouTube friendly, right? How many sexless marriages are there out there? Or worse yet, I see on TikTok a wife saying, you're not going to get any unless you take out the trash. Mm. You're not going to get any unless you mow the lawn, blah, blah, blah. But if someone breaks into the house, you're expected to protect this woman with your life and she don't even want to give you no bedroom fun. That's BS. That's why we tell guys, most of the time, unless you want to have kids, you shouldn't get married at all. Because women... get in line when they know that you have other women in line. That's why we tell guys to not date exclusively, to date non-exclusively and all this stuff.
Let's think about the actual math of the situation
here.
It sounds like feminism has been the greatest gift to
high value men.
To guys like us.
High value
men.
To guys like us.
But another way to put it is feminism has actually reverted society back to a more primitive state.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Because of feminism, I would say it's the greatest, like I said, high value men, guys who are confident, successful, wealthy, they can get any woman they want, whenever they want, with no obligations, no commitment. And better yet, half the time the women are working careers and doing a bunch of the work. So there was a meme where a feminist was like, or it was a meme where someone, a woman said, feminism is a trick, you guys. The men are going to sit around playing video games all day while they make us do all the work. Right? It's a joke, but what ends up happening is you look back at how things used to be in the tribal sense.
Yep.
The alpha male, the high value man would, you know, get whatever woman he wanted.
All of them.
And if you look at how, in the animal kingdom, you know, typically it's like the most dominant, powerful male, like, you know, takes like all the women.
15 wives.
Roosters got like gorillas. 12 ladies. They take They fight each other. Harem. They kill the other one and then they take their harem. So right now, because of all this, like you mentioned, these guys go on Instagram and they can just DM 50 women and get back 5 messages, and then one of them is a go.
Yep. And that's what I've said it before. What feminism has actually done is it's given all the sexual leverage to the highest tier men, inadvertently, to the unbeknown to them. They've basically given all leverage to the men that will never actually commit to them. And what happens is the guys that are, you know, good husbands, good potential long-term partners, those guys get left out in the dust. And the women don't come back to them until, you know, maybe their youth is gone or whatever it may be. And then you end up with these marriages that don't end up working out because the guy isn't getting her best, but he's still held to a certain standard that he has to provide.
So there was a chart. I think it might have been Leonardo DiCaprio. But if it's not, forgive me, Leo, for besmirching your honorable name. But it was like this guy dates women and marries women and divorces them at the exact, like almost the exact same ages. Like he had to date at 24 and then at like 34.
Oh yeah, it's Leo. He doesn't date any girl over 25. Yeah.
25.
It's Leo. Yeah.
Yeah, he dates and then dumps him and then dates and then dumps. He like dates him.
Smart man.
Very smart.
Smart. He's, cause here's the thing. Let's be honest about it, right? The women want him for his status and his value.
Right.
Right? They want to be around, you know, an A-list celebrity, whatever. So he's like, okay, you want to share my time with a high status man? I want the best and the brightest. The problem is this. When men put women on, we want preferences. This is what we want in women. It's considered misogynistic and rude or discrimination. But when a woman has standards, it's considered preferences. It's completely okay for women to exert their boundaries on what they want in men, but it's not okay for men to do it. Men are shamed for doing it.
Think about what we're talking about in this segment. A guy could lose his job and make less money, and now he's not economically attractive anymore, and then you get a divorce. But a man, like even criticizing the fact that these women are overweight, they've let themselves go, and it's considered misogynistic or sexist or offensive.
And I'll take it a step further. Society actually encourages women to leave their men we no longer provides because they get the money. 80% of divorces are initiated by women. The family courts destroy men. They're heavily gynocentric. So what is there any benefit to really getting married in today's day and age?
Yeah,
I can't see many.
Even social media. You see all the time. Girls leaving their men for other men. And it's funny because when you're married to a woman, right? Guess what happens? Let's say you lose your job, like you said earlier, and you're no longer like attractive to her. She can go cheat and have fun on the side, and then still take half your money.
Let's start this from the beginning, all right? Yeah. So, you said you encourage men not to get married. Is that opinion both of you guys have?
Yeah, there's very few situations where you should marry.
You're better off being single.
Yeah,
honestly.
All right, so you want to just give us the bullet points? I know we've talked about it quite a bit, let's go through it now just to start from the beginning. Why shouldn't men get married?
Well, a big reason why is because marriage is a traditional thing and a lot of women aren't traditional, you know, let's be honest. I'm just going to have to say things that might offend people. Women are more promiscuous than they've ever been.
Yep.
You're going to have to train a lot of bad habits out of your girlfriend and or wife to make her a suitable candidate to be your long-term partner to raise children. Because the problem is this, society nowadays, you got this rap music, you got city girls teaching girls all this other stuff. These are bad habits, not conducive to a good long-term girlfriend and or wife of your child. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Last thing you want is your son to be walking down the playground and be like, hey dude, I saw your mom's like butt on OnlyFans. Like that's terrible. You know what I'm saying? Like, and Lana Rhodes is dealing with the consequences of that right now for poor decisions in the past. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. So like, women are more promiscuous now. They don't want to follow male leadership. You know, they don't want to adhere to traditional traits, but they expect you to adhere to all your masculine traditional traits. So it's a bad trade for you a lot of the time. And not only that, why would you sign a contract with someone that's incentivized to break it?
Yeah.
And you,
they break that contract, they get half your stuff.
Exactly. And not only that, most women marry up. So by default, more than likely, whatever woman you deal with is going to make less money than you. So, and not only that, but when she's married, that's when the sexless marriages start. That's when the disrespect begins or whatever. So it's not in a man's best interest to get married in today's state, because a lot of women are not fit wives, to be honest.
Tim, I was actually married before, right? So I'm speaking from my personal opinion as well, as being married. But I'll say this. Regarding marriage, there was no benefit for me being in that marriage versus not being in that marriage. So when I was single, dating the same girl, I had the same benefits. But now being married, I involved the state into my life. So if I want to leave, I ask permission to leave. And guess what? They're going to take a portion. If I want to do certain things. So I'm just saying, like, regarding marriage itself, what's the benefit for men? Honestly, not much other than having kids. And even then, it's kind of like, okay, you could have kids without marriage. My thing is, look, I'd rather go to Colombia, find a nice chick over there, marry her, and come out to the U.S.
And real talk, here's another thing, too. Yeah. I'm going to say it as well.
Yeah.
More than likely, if you marry a woman in today's day and age, she's going to have a past. Okay? Women want a man with a future, but a man does not want a woman that has a past. But the problem is that if I say I don't want a past, that's considered misogynistic, toxic, whatever. But no, I'm taking a huge risk by marrying you and having children with you. So I need to make sure, just like you want me to be able to provide for the family, that you're going to be a dutiful wife and not embarrass me and the family. Because when women cheat, there's serious negative consequences to it that can destroy a family, get pregnant by another man, whatever it is. It just doesn't work. So a lot, you know, if you're going to get married, you're going to want a woman that has a lower notch count. Men are literally designed to want a woman that has a lower notch count. Are you going to find that in the West? Very tough, man.
And just to add to that point as well. So when I married this chick, right, she was a single mom. Just when I first came to America. And, you know, at the beginning it was cool. Rosy, everything was cool. But then it started getting into, like, demanding. Okay, you know what? Spend more time with my kid. I need to do these things, whatever. And I was like, you know what? This wasn't part of our agreement at the beginning. Like, you know, it was us helping each other out, whatever. The point here is that, like, they can now exert more boundaries on you and demands on you. And because you're in that situation, it's kind of like, okay, this is my wife. I should do this, because if I don't, she might leave me. And the fear of her leaving me is very, very powerful, because now I'm going to lose half my stuff. That being said, I left her because I knew going forward, if I stayed any longer, I could be held liable for a lot of things, like maybe child support, maybe even, you know, having to pay alimony. So I got out as fast as possible under that year. But I'm saying most guys, they say, you know what, I'll stick with her, you know, I'll do with the bull crap, whatever. And then they get finessed because they have to pay, all that stuff they got to pay. So
cheaper to keep her. That terrible quote. And one last thing I want to say, because I know that the feminists might get mad at me, whatever, for me saying that.
Right. Men saying want the a woman.
Yeah, they already send me death threats every day. So it is what it is. So I'll just go all the way. The thing is this, female promiscuity does have consequences. It's just that we don't tell women this because we don't want to tell them the truth, right? When you lie, women buy. You know, go ahead, girl, do your thing. All I'm saying is that if you're going to marry a woman, her past does matter for you as a guy. And there's studies that show this, that the more partners a woman has, the lower her ability to probably have to pair bond with you and or have a marriage that's going to last. It has significant consequences if the woman had a promiscuous past. So guys need to be smart and know that if you're going to pick a woman for a long-term relationship to have children with, you got to know what you're doing. And in today's Western culture, women are incentivized to be promiscuous. So it's like, and I shouldn't be admitting this as a guy that you know, dates casually, whatever. But for the women out there that might be watching, or guys that are thinking about getting married, this stuff matters, guys. You need to look at this.
Check out the story we got.
Go ahead.
Wife's response to husband's message to lose weight goes viral. She should have given you divorce papers. Here's the story. A guy he posted a video online saying he purposefully bought his wife a dress that was too small for her. He wanted her to lose weight. The response, how sick and disgusting. She should divorce you. She can gorge herself, eat whatever she wants. She owes you nothing. And she gets half your stuff. There you go. What incentive is there? You know what? I'll say this too, to all of the women who may get angry about hearing this stuff. If you don't like hearing this, I'm not saying this to say any of it's good or right or anything like that. But now you're hearing what men are thinking and what men are talking about and what men want.
Yeah,
what they'll never say. And there was a Peloton commercial too that got people offended, because the guy last Christmas, I think it was,
he bought her a Peloton,
yeah, which is like a bike.
A bike.
Yeah, a bike. And there was a bunch of rage. Like, are you telling your wife that she needs to lose weight? Blah, blah, blah. And this just shows the crazy clown world that we're in, where having standards on women is considered misogynistic or awful. You know what I'm saying? And it's right. All you're simply telling her is, hey, listen, if you want to continue to get this security and provisioning and relationship with me, you need to also perform. There's a burner performance on men, but there's never a burner performance on women.
Never.
Women are, we have a bunch of social conventions out there that allow women to misbehave, act poorly, be obese, be crass, be annoying, and with zero consequence. If a woman is fat, love your curves, girl.
Hey, wait. Go.
If a woman is rude, it's okay. They just can't handle you. You know, if she's strong and independent, you know what? He has small D energy. He's not worthy of your time. You know, you go, girl. But if a guy's a loser, hey, man, you're a loser. You live with your mom in your basement. You're a dork, whatever.
Yep.
Men are – there's negative reinforcement to mistakes made if you're a man. But there are not there's not negative reinforcement for bad female decisions. And the thing is this. Who loses? The women lose. Because they end up single because men select who gets married. Okay?
You want to hear my favorite conspiracy theory?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
You know the Dove Real Beauty campaign?
Dove
Soap Real Beauty. So they got bigger women, plus size women, fat women for their ad campaigns.
Oh, Victoria's Secret's doing that too.
Yeah. But here's the thing about the Dove Real Beauty campaign, right? So they got like bigger women, plus size women.
Yeah.
All right. You know Ben and Jerry's, obviously.
Ice cream.
Yeah. Guess what? There's one company that owns both, Unilever. So the joke conspiracy theory is that they sell the ice cream to all these women, get them really overweight. And then do commercials saying, you're so beautiful.
Wow.
You keep buying. Like, because you do these ad campaigns for soap where you got all these super attractive models. And these women who keep eating your ice cream, you know, they're going to be out of shape and
genius.
Feel bad. So you got to make the commercials sound, hey, it's great. But look at this. You get the body positivity movement.
Yeah.
You get all these ads with morbidly obese women that are like at serious risk of health complications.
Yeah.
It's horrifying. There's nothing like that for men.
None.
There's no man body positivity movement. I mean, maybe like a
no
small
male plus size models. I don't see.
Nope.
Oh, where's no. The men's fitness magazine with a big fat morbidly obese guy saying like, this actually reminds me of the Sokol Squared hoax guys. You guys know about James Lindsay, Peter Boghossian, and Helen Pluckrose. They spoofed a bunch of journals. One of them was fat bodybuilding.
Okay.
I don't know if this got accepted, but the idea was, why is muscle the preferred, you know, bodybuilding? Fat bodybuilding is you should be able to eat a bunch of food, get really, really fat, and that's bodybuilding too. but it doesn't exist.
No.
There's no big ad campaign where it's like a big fat dad bod guy, you know, just sitting there like, I eat a lot of Twinkies.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
And when it's amazing because like I used the example before, the analogy, like if I walked around in a dress and heels and I said, oh, well, you know, I'm really good at doing this. You should accept me for whatever. It sounded asinine, right? But that's how women sound when they say, I make a lot of money and I'm a corporate exec, whatever. Men don't care about that. These are considered masculine traits. No matter how much feminists want to argue with us about it, like earning money, becoming high powered, high status, whatever. These are things that men tend to do and women find attractive in men. They're masculine traits. So if you have them, cool plus for you, but it's irrelevant towards your sexual market value. And yes, like I said, there's never going to be a body positivity for men because I always say for a man to be attractive to women, he's got to live in a fact-based reality. He cannot – men don't get the privilege of living in a Disney fairy tale. I can't tell you how many women I know. It's okay. You'll find a good girl. Don't worry. She'll come your way, blah, blah, blah. No, that's cap. Because that's like me telling a lion, hey, listen, lion, if you just wait and you'll find that gazelle, man. Don't worry
He'll
about it.
He'll come right to you.
He'll come right to you. You just need more time. No, you need to tell that lion what? You need to be stalking your prey. You need to be out at night. Hiding in the grass, you might need two of your buddies to help you, whatever it is. And then when they're not looking, you got to jump on them. That's what it takes to get women. You got to reveal unflattering realities about how women really may select to get them. But women get the privilege of saying, I'm going to wait around and the right guy will come because they get the privilege of being able to believe in Disney fairy tales because they're the gazelle. You can't do that as a man. You're the lion. If you don't know what you're doing, you're going to die. You want to get girls? You have to know these unflattering realities with men. And I think that's why this type of content is exploding in popularity. Mm-hmm. We're not just men, but also women, because men are learning what it takes to actually be attractive to women. You know, not being a pushover, not being soft, you know, having these bad boy tendencies, you know. And then women are learning, okay, men actually are different. They want me to be attractive and feminine and submissive. But
or they're tired of being lied to.
Yeah.
There you go.
And you know, but real quick, I think this is one of the reasons why feminists get so mad at this stuff. There's a I knew this a friend of mine. His dad was a physicist. We were talking about M theory, quantum physics. You know, the top tier, the unified theory.
And I was like, is this real? Is this it? Is the universe this 12-dimensional membrane or whatever this crazy theory is? And he said, yeah, there's a lot of problems with it we can't figure out. But you got a lot of scientists who have dedicated 60 years of their lives to this scientific theory, and they will never give that up. So you prove them wrong, and they're like, my whole life was wasted and broken. So now you have these women. They're 35. They have good careers. They make six figures. And if you say men have a tendency to not want to date that, they're going to get mad.
Yeah.
They have to get
mad. They have to shame you.
You have to be wrong. You are wrong. It's not true. I did everything right. I know you did. I know you did what they told you to do. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, you look at the studies, the tendencies exist. So it's going to be a lot harder for you. Going to college, not a good idea. Mm. And all these kids were like, but I was told to go to college. I did exactly what I was told. Great, now you're massively in debt. You can't get a job. Mm. Just
life
doing what
fair.
You're told.
A lot of women that we bring on our show that get mad when we say these types of things, they say, well, that's not fair. And I tell them, life isn't fair. It's not fair that you get to go into a nightclub without paying. It's not fair that there are men that are willing to pay your rent for not doing anything. We had a girl on our show yesterday. She's on unemployment. She's riding around in Rolls Royces and McLarens, and she went to Vegas today.
Yep.
An unemployed man would never be able to do that. Why? But she's young and attractive, and she's a woman. So there's privileges on both sides. And unfortunately, ladies, some of the things that men can do, you can't.
Oh, dude. Like growing up, how many guys did you know that became homeless? How many women did you know that became homeless?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not saying it's absolute. There's obviously homeless women.
75%.
But I think, one in five homeless people are women.
Yeah.
Some, like, it's really, really low because women can just find a guy and live with them.
Yeah.
It's not absolute. It's not, of course. You know, but suicides, overwhelmingly dudes.
Exactly.
I'm curious.
Happen.
Victims of violent crime, men. Because I had a woman one time say, I was like, give me a privilege that women have that men don't, or a right. And she was like, well, you could walk around at night and not feel scared. And I was like, feeling versus reality are two different things. Men are actually far more prone to be victims of violent crime, which is what you're trying to say.
We got to go to the super chat. We went a little long, and we got to do this bonus segment later where we can get even more offensive.
Yes.
All right, let's see. Chad Randall says, I'm sorry, if you haven't already, give that like button a little tap, subscribe to timcast.com, because if you think this was offensive, wait till we go to the members only segment.
Oh man,
let's get it.
I can swear in there, right?
Yeah. All right, Chad Randall says, I want an update on Tim's app. When will it be done? Ooh. Oh, man, we are working as fast as humanly possible. I literally work in this company, and I was like, can I give you more money to make it faster? And they were like, yes. And I said, can I give you even more money to make it go faster? And they said, that's the limit. There's just only so much you can do. So the new website looks amazing. We're going to do an app. You're going to be able to listen to podcast episodes with the screen off, all that good stuff. Mm. That's the plan, man. But it takes time to build stuff, so we're working on it. Hey, East F says, I got a notification today. Yay. Hey, that's cool.
Nice.
Oppo says, we have Tim Pool, the legendary fence sitter, versus Fresh and Fit, the legendary fence busters. Will Myron sacrifice the rest of his hair to defeat the beanie? Will Fresh unleash the stutter barrage? Find out next time on DBZ. That was a good
one. That's awesome.
That's funny.
It wasn't a question, but.
Excellent.
Let's see. Okay, I don't know what this means. Rainer Chen says, here's to Fresh and Fit. If Tim Pool joined your podcast, what could it take for you to Frank Castle him?
Oh. Tim is fam, man.
Yeah.
Tim is
cool. Frank Castle him.
Nah, Frank Castle because when...
Look at his shirt.
Yeah, I wear the Punisher. Basically, I went viral on TikTok back in like late 2020 for saying like if a girl reschedules on a date, you need to punish that bad behavior, make her buy the first round of drinks. And went viral because like, put it bad behavior. Are we dogs? It's like, no, you just need to let her know that you have boundaries and she can't disrespect your time. And then they're like, you punish bad behavior. I was like, you know what? I'm Frank Castle now. So I just took the name, the Punisher.
And then every show we do, right? There's, for whatever reason, this random ratchet chick that goes crazy, right?
Yeah.
And we'll give her a chance. You know what? Please calm down. We're on a talk show right now. You can't be too loud. And they keep going on and on. So, you know what? That's it. Had enough. Get out of here.
Yeah, and I just kick her out. It's called Frank Castling them. Yeah. And the chat is hilarious because they'll start putting castle emojis in there when the girl
Frank
starts
loading
up. Or Frank Castle loading. I'm like, all right, get the F out, you know, and then they leave.
But Tim is cool, man. Tim is cool.
Yeah, Tim is mad cool. Guy,
so. All right, I'll take it. I got these guys from this fancy podcast in Miami saying I'm a cool dude. That must make it true.
That's right.
All right, let's see. Conti123 says, we had a lady tried to run a military gate and the MP had to smash her window to get her out because she refuses. Now she's trying to make the MP look bad by lying. Sad world we live in.
Ooh, damn. That's tough, man. That's
tough. Dude. All right, let's see. People are saying, Fresh and Fit based. Next show, Rolo Tomasi, LOL. Free John Doyle on Twitter. His future POTUS. Shout out to Heck Off Comedy Network. Do you guys know Rolo? Is that how you say?
Yeah, he's our boy.
He's a friend of ours.
He's actually the author of The Rational Male. A very cool guy.
Good dude.
You should have him on the show, man.
He follows me.
Yeah. He's a good dude.
We'll check it out.
Yeah.
I'll Fight You Naked said, just saw Leah's interview with Boyce. It was very interesting seeing a girl who aspires to be a stay-home mom when I'm old enough to be her dad. The Wokies would have got away with it if it weren't for all you meddling kids.
I just feel like women have really been lied to. And it, more than anything, it makes me sad to watch him try to play a second-rate version of the men's game.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart.
Lydia, I'm just curious. How many of your friends actually have a boyfriend or are married right now?
Most of my friends are married and having children right now.
Awesome. Okay. Good. Yeah. That's good. Excellent.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. My gang. My gang. Yep.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little jealous, but it's all good. We'll get there.
All right. Black Rock Beacon says, I just moved from PA to FL. It's nice here, Tim. Lots of freedom, lots of rural land for cheap and unincorporated areas. Luke was right. Join us, Tim. Dude, I lived in Florida. January and February was like when we could go outside. But maybe I'll get a big you know, pole barn or something. And
air conditioning.
Hold on, Tim. You spend a week with us, I guarantee you'll love Miami. I'm telling you, bro.
You might not make it back here alive.
All our guests that come to with us, they either get an apartment or they buy a home in Florida with us.
I love Miami. It was fantastic. It's just the weather, dude. You know?
Man, we're AC all day, bro.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, but I like going out. I go outside every day. I skate. And it was like really brutal. We'd go outside in the backyard at 100 degrees maximum humidity, and I just like fall over and like just melt.
You know, there's air conditioned skate parks, though.
Yeah, we can make that happen.
I went to one skate park in Miami.
Low Wayne's?
I don't remember. It had no AC though.
Oh,
and it was seriously probably like 110 degrees inside. Ooh. And I went inside, and I was like, these people are nuts. They had a fan. Like trying to pull the air, I'm like, dude, we're in Miami.
Yeah, like blowing just more humid air on me.
AC must have been broken or something, and they were trying. They had to keep the doors open, otherwise they go out of business. You know, I get it.
Yeah.
Damn. All right, let's see. What do we got? Jonathan Duger says Ian is right on this thing. The ice is like heavy weight on one end of a seesaw. One side falls, and the other rises.
Oh, shout out to Ian.
Yep.
Interesting.
Some science.
It checks out.
Yeah. It's got a name. Nathan Simpson says, Ian is right. Isostatic rebound is a thing. My home province in Canada was covered in glaciers during the Ice Age, and as the crust rebounds over time, we sometimes experience small earthquakes.
Huh.
Wow, interesting.
I never knew.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said that Atlantis sunk beneath the sea, as well as being covered by mud. It went down.
Huh. Interesting.
Florida's next.
Dun, dun, dun. Sure. All right. Eamon says, first super chat, listening for 2 years now. Hey, appreciate it, man. Love the show. Hi to Lydia. Speaking of getting hustled, got hustled in NOLA on bachelor's trip.
Oh, no.
Woke up with fake phone and $2,300 spent on debit card. Police didn't care to take a report.
Oh, no.
Whoa. Yeah. That's, I'm not surprised with
finesse
that.
Finesse game is strong.
Yeah, that happens, bro. Oh.
Joe Harshbarger. Tim, what if they are driving gas prices up because they want to make it more convenient to drive electric cars rather than gas ones? I don't know about all that. I do know I have an electric. I have a Tesla.
Mm.
It's great, but you can't really do much with it outside of like running errands. You can drive it to the store. You can drive it back, but taking it on longer trips, like we drove it 3 hours. We had to stop, plug it in, and then chill for like 20 minutes as it charges back up.
That's annoying.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Like, I'm not too familiar with Teslas. Like, do you plug it into like an outlet or something like that? Or?
If you you can plug it into an outlet, and it'll give you 3 travel miles per hour of charge. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you get the actual charger, like the superchargers, you can actually charge it up to about 80% in 20 minutes.
Okay.
So that's not that bad, but
how much is one of those things though?
The
supercharger.
It's a normal plug.
Oh, it just comes with it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sweet.
So like when you pull up to it's the outlet that it has.
Okay.
It comes with a wall charger. You got to get one installed. They're like $500 to install in your home.
Okay.
But if you're driving, you know, we would drive from here to like Philly. We stop at a rest station. You plug in the supercharger, and then you go inside, grab some food, come back out, your car's fully charged, you're good to go.
Mm.
Not as convenient as just pump to a gas station. You pump up in a minute, you're done, you're good to go. So
see, we got the Range Rover diesel, so we'd be macking
in
there.
Yeah, we use diesel. That's a little glitch in the matrix
diesel.
Right there.
Diesel's great.
Range Rover
saves.
We actually got a Ram because we're trying to do mobile shows. So we got a trailer. We need to set it up. There's a lot of work that's got to be done to it, and just there's too many plates spinning to like get everything going, but... We want to go to Nashville, then Austin, then Nashville and back.
Nice.
Make it a trip where we like hang out for a week.
Nashville's an underrated city, man.
Yeah, it's
a lot of fun. It's a fun place to be. Yeah.
Hector Garcia says, sending love from Homestead, Tim. And don't sleep on it. They recently started a bunch of development. I'm talking Tesla charging and entertainment complexes. Prices going up and people gentrifying west to the Redlands. West to the Redlands. Wow.
I'm telling you, man. That's South Florida is going to be booming in a couple of years.
I'll tell you this, dude. Some of the best food.
best food.
Yeah.
When you would get like legit food from like an abuelita and she's like cooking real.
Abuelita.
Yeah, dude.
Grandma's cooking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really good.
We would go in and it would be like this little hole in the wall place. And you know that it was like, they got the meat. They cooked it. There's no crap in it. It's like family cooking. Yeah. That was the coolest thing.
Killed the chickens in the back or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
No, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I once lived across the street from a chicken slaughterhouse. Oh. You hear them all screaming at night.
Oh man. God. You ever had Jamaican food?
PETA has entered the chat.
Yeah, but like New York Jamaican food.
I'm taking you out, bro. When you coming up to Miami. I got you. You and Lydia.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we get this trailer set up. We could come down to Miami.
There you go.
Let's do it.
We could do our show for a week. Then we, you know what the plan was? We would spend Monday through Thursday doing the shows just in the trailer. And then Friday night we would get a venue and do a live showing. Oh. It's not super easy because we got to get camera set up. We got the internet set up. So
you got our studio.
Yeah.
But the idea would like sell tickets, have people come and actually get to hang out, sit in the audience and then super chats plus like audience questions.
So people would love that, bro. I've thought about that. Like, you know, if you have an audience, you could definitely do that.
Friday nights. Well, because Friday nights people want to go out.
Yep.
They don't want to sit at home and listen to a podcast on the internet. So they're out doing something. We find this venue where they can drink and hang out. And then we're getting the best of both worlds. Everyone's having a good time. They can come meet
us. Exactly.
That's smart.
Yeah, that's a
good idea. Do it before 10 p.m. in Miami.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best Auntie Ever says, hey, Tim, just looking for a recommendation for an AR for home defense. Thanks. I'll just shout out to the SIG M400. I mean, you know, I've recently just got a bunch of guns. Steven Crowder sent me the SIG M400, told me it was like the Cadillac of AR-15s or whatever. Mm. And it took me like a year to get it because there was it was just difficult. I lived in New Jersey. New Jersey had crazy laws. We moved to West Virginia. Now it's easy.
Yeah.
That thing is amazing. Mm. It really is super easy, super, easy is the best way to put it. Yeah. So for me, and I'm like, I don't have a lot of experience. I only got a year or so now actually working with guns and training.
Okay.
I went out and I had the instructor and everybody show me how to use it. And it was fantastic.
Yeah. Glocks and ARs are just, standard.
He's a pro.
Can't beat that.
I wonder how. Wait.
A pro.
Wait. I didn't say it on air. Never mind.
But like the muzzle brake on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's powerful. Like the recoil was very light. This is a 5.56. Home defense though, I guess an AR. I just got a 9mm AR rifle.
Mm.
I like that because you can use hollow points or frangible 9mm, so there's less penetration, so it's safer and just, more
for
accurate.
Home defense though?
Yeah.
But wouldn't you want to kind of end them?
Yeah, I mean a hollow point are seriously.
Yeah, okay. I thought you meant fringes and like okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, so, like hollow points less likely to go through the walls.
Oh, okay. All right.
But
fair enough.
When it hits a
person. Yeah, because it hits them, it stays in them and it splatters. Exactly. Yeah. It expands and mushroom tips.
Yeah, it's
exciting. Yep. So, yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I talked about this before. I was like, I don't want to end them. I don't even want to have to shoot somebody. But that's the hard realities. I told you the story about when I'm in Miami. They said guy got his house invaded and he walked down the stairs. No idea what's happening. It took a bullet in the chest.
Yeah, man.
So sometimes the sad reality is you don't get to make that choice. They made it for you.
Right.
I'll say it in the uncut version. I don't want to say.
All right, we'll save it.
We'll save it for the uncut. I was going to say uncut version.
All right, let's see. Justin Bell says not having children is equivalent to ending your genetic line that has been evolving for how long? Mm. Billions of years. We gain sentience to end ourselves. We'll get into a bit of this in the bonus segment too, because that's the stuff where YouTube gets really mad, and we're gonna All right, let's see what we got. ASU says Fresh and Fit did the Red Pill Manosphere go mainstream. Tim, can you have Rolo and Coach Greg Adams on the show, on the podcast? I'm not familiar. I've heard of Rolo for sure. I don't know who Coach Greg is. You guys know
he's a good dude. He's a good dude. Coach Greg Adams.
Yeah, we'll definitely look into it. We actually I think we talk about men's issues and stuff.
Yeah.
Relatively often. It's mostly political and cultural.
Not as often as we used to.
Yeah, not as often as we used to. We actually, one of our first guests was, a psychology?
Yeah, Sean Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it's mostly because it's gender is obviously a huge driver in cultural politics.
Yeah.
And how movies are being made and how all this stuff is doing, is changing and happening. So.
And also it's trending very well too. These topics are very hot.
Yeah. Yes. A lot of guys are struggling, man. And I think, since, my prediction is as women become more and more selective and they deal with a smaller portion of men, that top 10% of men, and it dwindles down, more and more guys are going to go looking for answers. They're going to go on Google. How do I get girls? They're going to find us. You know what I'm saying? And try to figure this stuff out.
We say so many marriages and relationships is crazy, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. Check this
out. Joe Novacell says any app is a dating app if you're creepy enough.
That's true.
Did you hear about the guys who were hitting up women on LinkedIn?
Oh, yo, no. There's a whole,
yeah,
You can do
There's
it.
There's a whole technique of using LinkedIn to get girls.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Which is cringy to me.
I got a buddy that does it. He uses LinkedIn to get
That's
girls.
So cringy
you
could
do it. Nah, man, dude, it could work because you got status on there. That's if you do it right, you're coming from like kind of like a mentor, higher status. Like, so the girls, women are, there's a reason why like secretaries,
but just go on a sugar site. Just go on a sugar site.
You could do that too, but like it's just, I say use every avenue, man. Use every avenue, guys.
VP hit
cold
me
approach,
up.
Online dating, LinkedIn game, whatever you gotta
hearing
do.
The VP hit me up to go on a date. Who's the VP? it's like, I don't know. It's cringy.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. I say use everything. No shame.
Okay.
The Civic Nationalist says, I ride around the UK on my 500cc motorbike, and I used to pick up chicks in nightclubs. Never once used a dating app. But I did meet my GF of 1 year on Instagram, and when she's not at uni, we go on the same rides. God save the queen.
Oh, okay.
J. Rich says, are we headed towards a world where the average man and woman won't settle for each other and ultimately live alone and pay to play with the top 1% of either gender when they need to? Would that be better or worse than what we have now?
The only thing I would say is it's not going to be the average man be willing to settle. It's going to be the average woman won't settle.
Exactly.
It's going to be because average women now, if you ask them what they want in a man, they're not describing an average man. They're describing a man that's extra above average.
It was one thing we learned from the show, talking to hundreds of women.
Yeah,
they will never submit.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. Oh, I'd rather have a dog, cat, live alone. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. They really don't want an average man at all, man. Because we like to ask the girls, hey, well, how tall does he got to be? How much money does he got to earn? If we were to average it out from all the hundreds of women we've spoken to, over 6 feet tall, at least $100,000 a year, attractive, in somewhat shape, not being fat, you're already describing a man that's in the top, 5%, man. Because only 10% of all U.S. households make over $100,000 a year. So if you extrapolate that for single men that are attractive that meet these other requirements of yours that are 6 feet, we're talking top five, top three,
not
top
even,
4%.
Not even. 0.1 because you're single as well. So you gotta factor in.
I'm being generous.
No, because think about this too. Single as well, right there. So these guys who are highly sought after, they're probably already dating somebody.
Exactly.
Yes. Multiple people.
And that's,
here's another equalizer, clout. If you have clout nowadays, it's kind of like the social currency. You have that, you have access to a lot of women.
Yeah, and it's just, the thing is I think, well, it's not even I think. At this point, after interviewing hundreds of women, I know.
We know.
They have an abundance mentality that is almost detrimental to their ability to lock down a guy because they think, well, I went to this social situation or I went to this party or I was on this yacht and I met all these kinds of guys. These guys are abundant. No, they're not. Like, they're abundant maybe from they want to sleep with you. Because women don't understand that. Just like women have like a dual mating strategy, men do too. You have the girls that you want to just like hook up with, then you got girls that are wifey material. The problem is that a lot of women conflate a guy wanting to sleep with them and give them attention as, okay, well, this guy is a potential candidate for a relationship too. And what they don't understand is that, relationship value and, attractive value are two different things, And a lot of guys, and here's the other thing too. I always tell women to this, and they get mad at me, but feminists, if you want to get mad, it is what it is. A man's value is derived from how many attractive women can you get and sleep with? A woman's value is determined by what caliber of man can you attract and most importantly,
retain.
If you don't got a ring, you lost. The thing is this, we like to give out participation trophies and don't like to have losers, especially when we deal with women. Women, we like to coddle them. No, if you are not married or in a serious relationship with a man that you love, admire, and respect and want to be with, you lost as a woman. And as a man, if you can't attract an abundant amount of women, or at least a woman that you find attractive that you want, then you lost as a man. The problem is that we don't like to have winners and losers. We want to give everyone a participation trophy. And it's okay to call a man a loser, but not okay to call a woman a loser. And the thing is this, they want to play the game on easy mode, because let's be honest, dating for women is on easy mode, but they want to get hard mode benefits.
That's right.
They want to be able to say, well, I have guys in my DMs. Hey, well, I get invited to these kinds of parties. Well, I got guys taking me out on dates, blah, blah, blah. I should be able to be promiscuous as well. No, you got the game on easy mode, so you don't get hard mode benefits.
Dude, if you want the exotic drops from the boss, you don't get that on easy mode.
Yeah, you gotta, exactly. So like men play the game on hard mode. So therefore we can go ahead and, be promiscuous. We can go ahead and, have a bunch of women because it's very difficult for men to get women. And the thing is, women get mad at me when I say this too. Men don't cheat. They just exercise options when they get to a certain level. And here's another thing too, like another fallacy that they have. Well, I deserve a high value man. Cool. You know what? If you have a high value man, that's fine. But guess what? You're going to have to share him in the bedroom. What? That's BS. Why can't he just be faithful? Why can't this man just be faithful to me? And I have to tell him all the time. Okay. There's two families. You're in one family, I'm one family, right? You, I inherit my $1 million. You were born poor and you had to earn your $1 million. You had to scale up three businesses, whatever. 20, 30 years passes by. I spent all my money, maybe betting on Dogecoin, whatever. No offense to the Dogecoin investors, right? And then you built up three different businesses up to $2 million net worth. And then I come to you and tell you, hey, listen, you need to invest your money like this. You're going to look at me like, are you crazy? I'm not listening to you. Why? Well, because I inherited my million, whereas I inherited my million for my family, whereas you had to earn your million. So how can you dictate to a self-made millionaire how to invest his money when he made it himself and you inherited your money? And that's what I tell women.
Yeah.
You inherited your value. You cannot dictate how a man spends his value when he had to earn it. You must preserve your value. Men must create their value. We play by different rules.
Women do earn their value, though. In terms of, depending on the guy they're going for, looking mm-hmm. good, staying fit, taking care of themselves.
But they're born with eating. Value.
Well,
their looks are inherent. You know, yeah, it's inherent to them. So, yeah, I get it. Yeah, and by no means am I saying a woman's existence is easy. Makeup, wearing heels, and all this other stuff, it ain't easy. But what I am saying is that they're given the value up front, and it's their job to preserve it.
But check this out. It's also technology, I think, is one of the big problems. Technology is one of the reasons women have to go get jobs in the first place. Because the high-value men can now get with whoever they want, average women don't have a guy who's going to support them. They have to get a job.
I would say I would blame it more on the lack of a father in a household. The reason why, you know, the divorce rates are so high and, you know, women are not happy with men is because the father used to be a critical component in mate selection. And the father would pick a man that was conducive to his daughter's long-term success from a security standpoint. You know, he didn't have to be the most arousing guy, be the nerd, whatever. But that guy was going to be a really good husband and a really good father. The thing is, though, since women make their own money, right? Alpha seed, beta need, right? Shout out to Rolex Tomasi. If they make their own money, they no longer want that security from that guy that might be, you know, a loser. They want the hot guy that is attractive and makes money, more money than them. So it's when you and there's a bunch of other reasons, you know, why society fails when you remove the father. But the father is a critical component in his wife being able to lock down a man and be happy in a relationship as well.
All right, we got this one from Simulation 115. He says, what are the guests' thoughts on otaku and anime culture and its effect on dating?
Honestly, man, I love anime. However, I would say, though, it's created a space where, like, it's a bunch of guys that only, how to put this, stay in that bubble. And it's kind of like I don't want to sound harsh, but they only look at women. I don't know how to say this in a nice way. They look at women as
just
like,
don't swear, bro.
Yeah. They look at women as like characters. And when you look at them as characters, it's kind of like they I don't know how to put this into words, bro.
They treat them like they're not real. They treat exactly. them like some kind of
and they go
fiction.
To like sex dolls, all that stuff. Yeah. So to me, it's like, okay, you can watch anime, bro, but that's not real life. It's kind of like a perception of how things could be, but it's not real life. So go out there, talk to girls, live a good lifestyle, but remember that anime is for fun when you're bored, but it's not real life. That's all I'll say.
Here's a good one. Hayden says, I make over 100K a year, live in a more rural state, 30, and have no kids. Most girls my age have kids. Kids get hurt in breakups, too. I want my relationship to be number one, not another man's kid. Marriage remains after the kids leave the house. Being there for each other is priority number one. A lot of guys don't want to marry someone who's already got kids, too.
I agree 100%. You should not marry a single mom.
Bro.
And this is going to get controversial. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Bro.
No,
you married a single mom.
I did it.
Stupid.
Right? Stupid. And like, no, for a young guy coming up, especially when you're on your rise and you have no kids yourself, to marry a single mother with a kid, you're literally just saying to yourself, you know what? I'm going to put my dreams behind, focus on this person's seed, and raise them. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, why would you do that when it's not your kid? So my thing is, look, if you're young, you want to make something of yourself and be successful. You don't want to have roadblocks in your life that can actually damage your progress. So I'm just saying, look, don't date single mothers because one, you have to take care of someone else's kid. Two, it may pull you back from your dreams. And three, think about this: there's millions of other girls that are single with no kids. Why are you going to that girl? She's already had somebody that gave her imprint. And you're not going to break that imprint.
From a biological and from like a financial standpoint, it's just not intelligent to do that. Like you're basically what's happening is you have 100% responsibility with like no authority because this is not your child.
Yep.
So, you know, the disciplining, there's going to be some, you know, arguments probably with the wife on that. It's not your kid, so they're probably not going to respect you the same. They're going, you're not my daddy, you know, and then you're putting all this money and effort into a child that isn't yours, and the woman can leave at any time. It's going to hurt you twice as bad because you're going to build an attachment to that child to some degree, and you have zero rights to that child if something goes down. So it's in a man's best interest to have his own kids and to marry a woman that doesn't have kids and raise your own seed, because at least, because family court's already bad enough.
Yeah.
You're already going to lose your own biological kids more than likely.
Yeah.
So you better at least have it be where you have a small chance of being able to see them versus having a stepchildren that aren't even yours.
And last thing, in your own home, discipline is made up to the woman, because remember, that's not your kid. Mm-hmm. So if you hit them, if you punish them, remember, it's motherly instincts saying, hey, you know what? That's not your kid. Don't punish them.
Yeah, it's a bad bet for men to marry tough. A single mom or get with a single mom.
Caleb Bukta says, women might age like milk, but you MGTOWers never grow up.
Ooh. I mean, I wouldn't identify ourselves as MGTOWers, but...
Hey, no comment.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I said, like, here's the thing. Like we don't have a problem with guys in that community.
Yeah.
They point out facts.
Yeah.
They speak a lot of truths, man, and they choose. So basically, they've looked at the sexual marketplace that we just described with the globalized marketplace and hypergamy on steroids, whatever, and they've decided, I'm leaving. I'm not playing.
And that's fine.
That's fine. We ain't going to shame those guys because, honestly,
is it worth it? Think about it. Is it really worth dating? No, it is. What are you gaining from this? Mm. You get married, you might lose. You meet a girl, it's just like...
There's a lot of risk.
Look at the facts. Look at the whole agenda here. Is it worth it? Probably not.
Yeah.
Keeping it buck.
I'm not going to knock the MGTOW guys. I'll just say this. For us, we enjoy going out there, dating casually, doing our thing, you know, womanizing. You know, we enjoy it. If guys want to learn how to do it, we're here. If you don't want to be in the marketplace, cool. We ain't going to knock you for it, but we understand where they're coming from.
Yep.
Wolfstar says, H pound. I think he meant H3. Proved Tim is a fool. Ethan is a Chad, and Tim can't get a girlfriend because he's a pathetic loser. Did H3H3 really talk about me?
Did H3H3 write that chat? That what guy. The heck?
I don't know if they actually talk about me. I mean, I would be. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, H3H3 is a huge show.
They're talking
about little old me. Wow.
People on the internet.
Get on that radar.
If you're booming, they'll talk about you no matter what.
Yeah, I like when you've got drama shows like H3H3, where their whole thing is to like drama, not issues. Then it makes sense they would want to talk about me because I was criticizing them and they were doing this thing with Crowder or whatever. But I mean, I there's no real overlap between anything that we do. Like, you know, I'll have a conversation with Sam Cedar about deontology or utilitarianism, and the guy's not smart enough to know what those things are. And then Ethan will bring that guy on his show who's not smart enough to know basic philosophical concepts to be able to talk about things like solipsism or whatever.
Huh.
If we're going to talk about, like, the current political state of, you know, Taiwan, China, of which I'm not even an expert, and then some guy who does a drama show who's like, I don't do any research, I just do whatever I'm told by the government, like, there's not even an overlap there. Yeah. By all means, guys, like, we're not a pop culture podcast. You know what I mean? So it's in his best interest to be like, aha, you know, Tim Pool or whatever, and then do this thing with Steven Crowder. We talk about a lot of stuff that's extremely esoteric and it's not particularly valuable, which is tough. Cause I know that if we do a drama show.
Oh yeah.
If we do drama and gossip and Britney Spears and all that stuff and Minecraft or Fortnite, that's money in the bank.
Yep.
We don't do that. So it's like.
It'd be so easy.
That's why it's like, hey man, if he talks about me and he gets people to know who I am, it's, I guess, just good in the long run.
Free marketing for you, man.
Yeah.
Right. Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, but whatever. I mean, I think he's all right. He makes a good content. It's just drama stuff. It's pop culture. We don't do that. All right, let's see what else we got. Aaron says, read Soren Kierkegaard, father of existentialism, writing on self. The first stage where most people stick is aesthetic, which embodies the arts and the erotic. They see boredom as the root of all evil and is preoccupied with making life interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's like most people, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing you could do to a woman is make her bored. You know, that's the biggest thing. I like when girls like leave a guy or whatever, and he just doesn't give her an emotional roller coaster because women are slaves to their emotions, man. There's a reason why they love crime dramas, why they they like certain types of television and gossiping and all this other stuff. Women are more interested in people. Men tend to be more interested in things,
right?
And unfortunately, people tend to come with drama, which is why women are more interested in it. On a balance of probabilities, is this all women? No, because I know there are some feminists. Oh my God, you're generalizing. Generalizing is how the world works, so that people can prepare for how the general world works.
Sam Devlin says, I have always been a believer that men and women are created to be complementary to one another.
Yes.
My partner and I find balance in each other, and it is beautiful.
That's right.
Side note, my wonderful man bought me a Peloton last year, and I felt like a queen.
Hey.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, that's how it should be.
Yeah. You know? We believe that men and women should be together.
100%.
However, not get finessed.
Yeah. You know, so. Just, yeah, we, yeah, men and women are better together than they are apart. Yes, yep. There's some situations that make it almost impossible nowadays with marriage and women being incentivized to break that marriage contract. But, you know, men and women work together. We've done it for centuries and we've come pretty far, right? You're talking, looking at us in 1080p right now, right?
So. That's right.
Here's a good one. Rondo says, yo, I never thought I'd see Fresh and Fit on Timcast. Fresh and Fit, how do I convince my friend to not hate women? He had his heart broken when he was dating.
Ooh. Yeah, so he's going like through that rage right now. The biggest thing, dude, is you got to understand, guys, that, you know, shout out to our boy Rolo again. Like, I agree with him 100% on this. Like, women love opportunistically, man. Like, you got to bring something to the table. And I think a lot of the times when men get frustrated with women, it's because they think that it's a Disney fairy tale. She's going to love me for me, unconditional love. We had a discussion one time with girls and, you know, they were all saying, like, yeah, I believe in unconditional love. Again, what do I always say? Women get the privilege of living in a Disney fairy tale. You got to live in a fact-based reality as a man. Women love opportunistically. They love you for what you bring to the table, and that's okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. Don't hate them for what they'll never be to you. There ain't going to be no idealistic lover, man.
And I'll say, look, man, you got to stand right, bro. It's just your turn. Understand that any woman you're with right now is for a season. It may not be forever. And that's true for life. Nothing is forever. So if you were to go right now, she breaks your heart, understandably. Definitely, it sucks. But at the same time, tomorrow, Janet's going to be there. So there's more girls out there. It's just your turn. Don't take it personal, bro, because it's not about you. It's about the whole agenda.
And here's the other thing, too. That's why in our podcast, we're so big on self-improvement.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys need the fulfillment through women. No, guys. You need the fulfillment through you. Mm-hmm. You need to be working on your business, right, your fitness, becoming a better man. Because when you become a better man, and a woman is just a compliment to your life, bang. She's going to immediately fall into her place and her feminine. She's going to know that you're on a path. And women... she's not your co-pilot, guys. She's your flight attendant.
And the more you level, the more
whatever
you
level, they want to say, they're
the more
mad
options
at me
you're
gonna
have. No, real talk though.
She wants to follow your lead, guys, and she's only gonna follow your lead if you got enough Pokemon badges. A lot of you guys got one Pokemon badge out
what
here,
the heck?
Trying to get chicks. Women want leaders, man. So you guys got to become, and then you can come.
But you see how she broke his heart. If he would leveled up, you know, to a certain level, you could have her break your heart. That sucks, of course. But guess what? You're at a high enough level where you have options, you know, to your life. So if she messes up, guess what? Janet's here. Jackie's here. So it doesn't really matter. It doesn't hurt you that bad because you have options for yourself. So
right on, man. Well, I think we should get ready for this members only segment. So cool. if you are not a member, go to timcast.com, become a member. The site's taken off, man. I can't believe how many people signed up. It's huge. We're hiring people. I think we're going to have like five people in the newsroom within like a couple weeks or so. So that's huge.
That's nice.
Damn.
Actually, no, I'm wrong. It's like six.
Snap.
Six people. Yeah. So this is going to be huge. Go to timcast.com, become a member, smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, hit that notification bell. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at TimcastIRL, and you can follow me at Timcast. You guys want to shout out your social media?
Yeah. We have a joint page, Fresh and Fit Miami. We also have YouTube as well, Fresh and Fit. And then my personal one is Fresh Print CEO. And then
Unplug Fit with two T's. And guys, yeah, get on us on our Fresh and Fit. We do our main podcast Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. Yeah. And then we do a nighttime show every time where we bring in some lovely ladies and discuss dating and react to videos every night, Fresh and Fit After Hours. And then we have a Fresh and Fit Clips channel. Check that out, too.
And the Instagram course.
Oh, yeah. DMs on demand. Yeah. Out now.
There you go.
Bam. You can also follow me, IanCrossland.net, and at IanCrossland on social media. Thanks.
Very all right. Cool. I wanted to close with a quote, which I don't usually do, but I was thinking about this quote while we were talking tonight, and this is something that's been bothering me a lot about feminism lately. This quote is from Musashi, and it says, "Truth is what you want it to be. It is what it is, and you must bend to its power or live a lie." And I think this is exactly what's happening with feminism, and that is what breaks my heart.
Wow, that was beautiful.
Yeah, hopefully that clears up in the next few years. Anyway, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Sour Patch Lids as I attempt to get more followers than Sour Patch Kids.
We will see you all at timcast.com in the bonus segment, so thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.